do go on, Liam, about this cool-ass Destiny trailer technology.
Okay, so I know it's Destiny, but hear me out. There's this Destiny, the Taken King.
So, what did you do this
for? No, shut up. There's this new trailer for the Taken King, right, where you pop in your PSN ID or your Xbox Live ID, and you get to watch it as it renders for a little bit, and then pops out a trailer customized to your character.
How?
And
how did it take so long for this to happen?
And, like, it shoves a bunch of your stats in there and tells you now they're after you. Enter player name here.
That's fucking cool.
It's really cool.
Like, did Mass Effect 2 do that with your character?
In a trailer? No.
You know? Or 3? Like that's something that feels like...
new levels of Paul marketing right
there.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
Well, it feels like something that video games would have capitalized on way earlier because it's something only video games can do.
If they could go the extra step... and have that directly emailed to me this morning instead of me having to plug it in. If I would have seen that email and clicked the video that was already set up to my character, I would have bought the game. I would have bought it on the spot.
Sold on the ad. Yeah, exactly. The work that gets put in there.
You put in enough work to make sure I would like it.
That's good.
Like,
the closest thing
I think of those trailers that are like, but do you want to see
Choose Your Adventure?
Until Dawn's trailer.
Until Dawn and Mad Max does a trailer like that. Like, do you want to see if did it infiltration style? No. Well, shut up.
Here it is. You waited too long.
Or the mini teasers you get before you start the next Telltale chapter.
Yeah.
And it's like, last time or next time on this.
Last time on stuttering.
I know it's not a Dreamcast noise, but that's the universal sound.
That's the universal noise.
Rikishi grabs the twisty rockets.
You weren't even in that video, and you know that.
Yeah,
now.
But
wow,
I know
cool.
it. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's literally something that we should be seeing like years ago in video games.
Yeah, for sure.
Keebler's twisty rockets.
I hope they can one up in the future. But like, yeah, color me impressed on your trailer tech.
Solid.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 110 of the Friendcast.
We had a big debate about what last episode was, and I think me and Pat nailed it with 109.
Yeah, I wanted to ask and see, because I know that, like...
It's fun.
Who keeps track?
Exactly. Mm. So what's our esoteric fact of the week for the number 110?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're 10% through the way of our podcast contract that got renewed, so we're going to be done in another
110,
90.
110 is 2 off from being 112, which is... the awesome music sensation that you should remember.
He does not.
I don't.
Because it's all about 112.
Bunch of black guys.
I have no idea. Is that 112 black men in a room?
That's exactly what it is. And they're all crooning for your heart.
Wow, 112. Been a while.
Once we get to
episode... Shokai the crooner.
Like, once we got all the 112s.
Yeah, exactly.
112 dentists.
The wonderful 112.
Here they come.
Yeah.
Black men.
And once we get to 112, we'll have to
get a new esoteric number.
Exactly.
Well, once you get to 112, then the music selection for the intro and outro of the podcast will be set.
Yeah.
It's kind of set. Unless we want to fucking get legal on our asses, maybe not.
Yeah. Well, I don't think 112 still exists.
They're all farmers now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well. The mouse over text for this episode is Pat's not here.
Yep.
So Pat's not here, he couldn't make it,
exactly.
So, let's take it away with what seems to be Matt's giant 2-page notes.
I've had less.
You've had more, too.
So, sometimes
I look over and I'm like, damn, he's got a whole fucking like calendar laid out in front of him.
And usually I cut one or two things because I look at your eyes and they're all glazed over and I'm like, okay, well, I'll cut it short.
My week's not going to impress the ladies, so go
well,
ahead.
Neither will mine because I watched The Last Airbender.
So how was that earthbending bit? Did you forget how awful it was?
So you watched it with
I watched it with the missus. Because we had long since passed the part in Avatar, The Last Airbender, where the movie stops.
Right.
And because, well, in case you don't know, because, like, well, you haven't seen it, but it's very Lord of the Rings, where it just kind of stops.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's no ending, because they assumed there'd be 3 parts to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
of course.
There's that, and, so I can only say what I think about it, which is the worst thing you can say about a movie, is that we both fell asleep.
Seriously?
When I really think about it, there's no greater insult to a piece of entertainment saying you literally both fell asleep.
It's one of the most utterly forgettable things I've ever watched. Like, I watched it 2 weeks ago and I barely remember it.
Yeah.
Like... Do you remember the bit at the end of the movie where they have to bring in waterbenders to kill someone on screen? Because they can't make the kids do it.
Because kids can't kill people.
Are you
people.
Serious?
Yeah. They kids bring in a cat. They bring in four literally who's. And they make them kill the big bad.
Okay.
Because,
don't forget that because the northern waterbender tribe are just fucking Theoden and a bunch of assholes from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
they're straight up medieval European looking blonde people. Which is...
Well, that's one of the problems, is like all the Water Tribe people have been completely whitewashed.
Right, no. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Just really, really quickly, you probably ask, is that in Avatar The Last Airbender, air nomads are basically Buddhist monks.
Yeah.
That's what they look like. In the movie, there are a selection of random Asian kids, random white kids, and black men.
Which is...
So they're straight up black guys.
Which is borderline acceptable. At least it was diverse.
Because it's air nomads. They take anybody, but
yeah,
anyway.
Sure.
Whatever. And in the rest of the show, everyone else is Asian.
It's interesting, because the Fire Nation is Indian.
Yes.
In the movie. Which is
and
odd,
no one's quite sure why. Is it because M. Night Shyamalan directed it?
Yeah,
there are things,
could
but they that's not right. And then all
the Southern
Tribe
Water
people,
Tribe are Katara and
her brother Sokka
and Sokka. They're both white.
They're both white,
and everyone else is Inuit. They're the only white people, and then Earthbenders are all Asian.
Yeah.
And then
that's correct.
Northern Water Tribe are all white.
All European.
It's so weird.
Are the different bending cultures like different continents in the planet, in the world of Avatar?
No, they share a lot of them.
They all have different spots.
So does it not make sense that they'd be different?
But in the show,
it's just
everybody's
not,
just Asian.
It's just not Asian.
Asian,
it's not
either Asian,
right.
Asian, or you're an Inuit.
Asian.
Like, it's one or the other,
you're
right?
Kind of an Inuit or whatever. There's also a Mayan culture.
There is.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There is a bit more, for sure.
But regardless, it's terrible. I forgot that the main hero has been renamed to his actual name, which is Aang. It's so terrible. I think actually the worst part, and now that we also finished watching Avatar. We finished watching, and we both came away with it where we think it's the superior show, but we think it's a superior show because it is one long quest, and that's more interesting to keep up over the course of time. Like, if you can do it well, it's a more interesting format. Whereas Korra is, here's the new villain of the season. Here's the new villain of the season. Here's the new villain of the season.
Like,
here's the new villain of the season.
I want to like Korra more, but Last Airbender's just
It's more funny. It's more... Because Zuko is the most interesting arc I've seen of any kid show ever.
Mm-hmm.
Where he starts as the villain and has this awesome character arc.
He gets a beach episode.
He gets the beach episode, which held up so... Because I talked about the sexy beach episode where all the bad teens have the sexy,
so well,
beach adventure, sexy beach adventure.
Sexy teen adventure.
Yeah. Right? And as we're watching it, my fiancé goes like, this seems alright, but you've really hyped it up. And I'm like, just give it a minute. And as it goes on, and the last shot of it is like a still frame of all the teens laughing. And I don't want to spoil it, especially kids and Wooly, because if you ever watch it, it's so worth it. But you watch it, you go, what? That's the end of the episode? Like, that's so nuts. And like, it was still like a delight to watch it all over again. And yeah, I think it's the better show, but like, Korra's got way better action. The animation is like, and is anime.
Like, that's what I mean.
It's
like,
just amazing.
Like, I want to like Korra better, but
because it's got the components.
The
it's just that Korra is more interesting than Aang, but everyone else in Avatar is more interesting than everyone else in Korra. You know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
Well, it looks like Korra is the Twilight Princess to Aang's Wind Waker. You know, it feels like they kind of made a sequel and then they made it a bit more mature, older,
they tried to.
That's kind of where you go.
They
with
tried
a
to and they did, but
like
it's still
up.
Just as goofy as Avatar. Anyway, the movie is just holy shit. We both fell asleep, so we had no real opinion. My fiance
what,
just went.
What was
my
what's
fiance
the last
just
thing
went,
you remember?
I fell asleep.
What was the last thing you remember?
The fact that when the final act of the movie is Aang makes a gigantic water wave, and then everyone looks at the water wave and says, "Oh shit," and they all kind of leave.
And they don't really, he doesn't really do anything with the water wave. He just makes a big wave.
But in the show, he makes a kaiju.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I won't go into much more than that, but it's like so much more crazy and dynamic and whatever.
You hyping up the rock scene a lot.
Dude, have you seen the rock scene?
No, I don't know.
I might have fallen asleep during this.
It's the fucking fun... Like, I haven't had as loud a sensible chuckle as I did...
What was it
...when I watched it.
I might have fallen asleep.
It's like, there's these earthbenders, right? And it's right when they, like, free them from
the firebenders.
Yeah,
okay, no, I saw that.
And they
start
to fight back.
Horrible white meat. Everyone has to fight.
Yeah.
Everyone have hope.
But...
Which he never really does in the show.
There's
kind of...
There's a group of... It's really confusing the way it's shot, and that's the problem. But you see, like, a group of, like, five or six earthbenders do this, like, big stomping, like, kata. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
And they all hold their arms out, and they're like, ah, and they're yelling. And this little rock just floats across the screen
past them.
Yeah. And
okay.
The problem
this.
Is the way it's shot, because what's really happening is the guy kind of next to them is guiding that rock. But it looks like it took that big stomping kata to get this
rock to move.
And this nothing rock floats through the scene and hits this one Fire Nation guy who doesn't know how to move. And then this giant wall of stone comes up and protects the singular guy from some fire coming in.
Okay.
So really, they were doing that kata to protect him, but the way it's shot, it looks like they did that, and this tiny rock just floats by.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
It was a fucking riot.
The other real problem with that is that in every bending scene, I can imagine this is hard to do, but it's why you shouldn't have done it in the first place. Like, don't make a live-action movie.
Yeah.
Is that they have to do these weird dancing katas, and then they have to time it so that another live-action actor has to react to getting hit with something that is not there.
Yeah.
But if they're not timed perfectly and the CG isn't timed, it looks so bad. Everything has a delay. Everything looks off. But in animation, you have absolute complete control over every element because you just draw it. And if it looks like it's not right, just redraw it. And it takes a little bit of time. But in a combination of live-action CG, it's almost impossible.
The problem is, that doesn't happen a few times.
It happens every
all
time.
All the time in every action scene.
It's terrible.
And to top it all off, the CG doesn't even hold up.
No, it doesn't. Some of it looks okay, but the vast majority of it looks terrible, especially waterbending.
Yeah.
And imagine that's the hardest to do.
Oh, for sure.
That and fire, earth is not the too bad.
It all just looks so bad.
Now that I'm all, like, you'll have more of an opinion on this, but now that I'm all avatared up, like, I rewatched the show, I finished Korra, and I watched the movie, for me, 100%, it's earthbending. Earthbending is so much cooler in every way and has way more applications because you can metal bend off it and sort of you can spur off to that into lava bending because that's what Bolin does later or whatever. But that has so many more applications because you melee way more than that. You can create a fucking rock shield around yourself.
Yeah.
You can make ramps if you're in a fucking car and just make it. The most useless bending to me at all is fire bending.
Yeah, kind of.
You might think it's the de facto coolest, but you can shoot fire.
Yeah.
And you can shoot lightning. Guess what? Lightning's lethal. Oh no, just like fire.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, it's all cool.
To me, like
earthbending has the most applications and looks the coolest.
I like earthbending the best because of Toph. Because
Toph is the best
such
character.
An underrated character.
I don't think she's underrated.
No, she's underrated.
No, she's perfectly rated. Everyone knows she's like, the best character. But
it's crazy how she turns around from being like, to like, no, you're actually the coolest.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so good at balancing their characters in Last Airbender. Like,
and
when you come out of it, you end up liking
everyone. Korra, that's why I feel Korra is a little sloppy with that.
Yeah.
Because Mako is like, has very little going on.
Yeah.
And Bolin's more interesting.
But
then he's also just comic relief at the same time.
Yeah.
And Asami's really cool. Do you know what's crazy? The voice actress for Asami played, Yue, the moon princess with the white hair.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
In the movie.
Oh, shit.
So they hired her somehow.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That's odd.
You think the creators of the show would have been like, just wipe our fucking asses with that turd
None
and never
that.
Look back on anyone that was involved with that?
My biggest takeaway after finishing the Last Airbender movie was, I wish they did the rest. I want to watch.
I want to watch see how bad it
live action. I don't want you to pry my eyes away from this train wreck.
Yeah,
I want it's to shame. See everything happen.
It did make quite
a
bit of money.
I want to see every pop and every explosion.
You want the icebreaker to come piling in? After the Snowpiercer is off the rails.
Exactly.
And
not just Korra, but the rest of Airbender, because it only did the first book.
Okay.
There's three more movies. Before you even get to Korra.
It's a trilogy.
And then Korra gets another three movies.
Yeah.
And then they could do an original one.
It did make a lot of money, actually, It's just that it got... Like, the most entertaining thing of the night is that once it's done, we watch it on Xbox Live Video, so it gives you the Rotten Tomatoes score and a bunch of reviews. And we read the reviews. The reviews were hilarious. It's like, in this war of no passion, no one cared. And, like, this lifeless, like, there were amazing little quotes. Mm-hmm. And they're just, like, filmed with such limp-wristed non-dedication to the source material.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan further digs his own grave that he will never, ever, like, rise from. Which is ironic, because this weekend his new movie opened up, The Visit, which actually is getting quite good reviews. It's a horror movie where it's probably a really horrible setup where two kids go to live with their grandparents and their grandparents are crazy and weird.
You know, he's got a lot more...
That's scary. I know people that had crazy... Like, I have to spend the weekend with my grandparents.
What
they're
was
weird.
That trailer for that one with the two creepy kids?
That's
creepy
Mama.
Mom.
That's Mama's Boy. Mama's Boy. That's coming out.
Not that, Mama's Boy.
But actually, that's a different movie.
Grandma's Boy.
He's got a lot more downs than ups, but I got to give it to him. He's still trucking.
And apparently, this movie is. I wanted to try to go see it.
But, you know, you got to eat. You gotta pay the bills.
But so. Like somehow he can keep eating that. You know what I mean? Like
you will find a way to keep trucking when your legs need to stay on.
Also, really quickly, I tried to start up Bloodborne again.
Uh-huh.
I took out the big fancy guide that Pat and German Spy were able to finagle
procure.
And I did not get far. It's been too long.
Sure. So you have to readjust your anus.
Readjust my spicy butthole in such a way. But when you try to acclimatize back to a Souls game. This is the first time I've gone back to a Souls type From Software game. Mm-hmm. All the ones I just dropped off hard and never returned to. Because I love Bloodborne so much and its aesthetic and its characters and its world or whatever. Usually when I start up a game again, let's say like something I haven't touched in a long time, it's never a tough game per se. I just need to get used to the controls again and then I'm off my merry way. And it doesn't work like that.
It's certainly not a friendly game in that regard.
It said I have to actually have like an entire day to get back in the swing of things. So I didn't get far. I made a little bit of progress, but I almost started to like, maybe I should just look up a video on how to get past this part. And then I saw like complete run of all bosses on the recommended video. And I was like, my mouse hovered over it. And I was like,
Your finger began to sweat.
Because the bosses are my favorite thing, especially in Bloodborne and Souls and Demon Souls and Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2 is the one video where I'm like, let me look up all the bosses, and there are only five bosses of note that I even thought
looked
cool.
In
Dark 2, and all the rest are just generic knights.
If you spoil these for yourself, you're going to enjoy it less when those moments happen.
There's two that I got spoiled on myself, which is, I think the next boss that I'm supposed to fight, which is, I'll say it's
go ahead. The name doesn't mean anything.
Oh, what's her name?
Not at this point.
It's Vidra.
Like, with the exception
Vidra,
of some
it's like a priest
ones?
That turns. It's a priestess that turns into like a giant.
The Vicar
blonde
Amelia.
Wolf.
Oh, Vicar
yeah,
Amelia.
Yeah,
Vicar
Amelia.
She's really
super
early.
Super fucking
she's
cool.
Amazing,
And then when I tuned into a random Bloodborne episode that you guys did, guard dog of the old ones.
Oh yeah, the watchdog of the old.
The watchdogs of the old one. I'm like, he's really cool, but I mean, he's a generic type of
type of
boss. Big dog. So I did that. I also sunk in a lot more hours into Mad Max, which was probably the toughest video we've ever had to record. I'll kind of apologize to anyone that's kind of like, why is the frame rate like this?
There's
some technical difficulties with that.
We recorded it once before as well.
It didn't record. And then me and Wooly had a bunch of other different problems.
Hurdles mounted to the back of speeding 18-wheelers on fire.
And you have to jump them all.
But, Liam, did you know this? Is that you knew that when you go into the big nothing, you can find some rare loot and some things. But regular electrical storms, like big storms will happen. And it didn't happen when me and Wooly... And it says storm rolling in. And what these are is that you have to get into your car, and even then, what happens is that when these storms start, these rare loot boxes are being thrown around in the storm.
Wow.
And you need to harpoon it and drive it out of the storm.
That's pretty fun.
And then you'll get 100 scrap. You'll get 300 scrap.
Large quantities.
Out of that. And, I tried to do that. And I didn't know that I was supposed to ride out the storm in my car or whatever. But I tried to get out. And I'm trying to catch the box and stomp it. And I couldn't do it because the harpoon doesn't break it open. It just drags it. And I'm trying. And just as all the scrap falls out, I'm Max and I'm just blindly going. And I'm trying to catch a scrap. And just as I get closer, it flies away. And I'm like, oh, God, this is such a disaster. And an electrical, lightning bolt hit me and fucking killed me.
I wish going into the dangerous parts of town actually gave you higher rewards.
Yeah.
In real life. Why can't we have that?
Well,
There's a fucking reason to try.
You'd be up at the point every weekend, right?
It got to the point where you start getting into the whole economy system that after you've liberated camps of established characters like Gut Gash and Pink Eye. I don't want to know why you have that nickname.
But you got it.
Is that once you start helping them out, it's almost like Assassin's Creed, where you start up little side projects, little resource gathering things.
You just start
in these
generating
camps,
currency for
and
you.
Then all this starts generating scrap, and then they help you out and they give you rare parts for your car, and it's all done. I'm sure this is what actually took the development a long time, is to figure out why this would even make sense in the Mad Max universe. How could there even be an economy in a world with no economy? Mm-hmm. And trying to figure it all out. But I'm still having fun with it. I still if I could give it a score right now, I'd still say it's a 7.5 to an 8. I think I'm leaning more towards the 8 side.
Yeah, when I was playing, I ended up playing 5 or 6 hours before just tapping out, and I was I can't do this in Arkham Knight and Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no way.
I want to finish this or get my fill of it before I go back into Metal Gear, because once I know that I go into Metal Gear, I'll never come out.
So
you can't mix sand from different sandboxes together.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly. No, which sand is which?
So
all sand.
I gave up on it. I'm calling it a 7. It's all right, fair enough.
And the last little thing I played is I made a Twitter post about it, and I was kind of embarrassed because everyone's like,
kind
"Whoa, are you serious?" I was investigating some shitstorm games as I do every year. And I found one called Nightmare House 2, which is basically just a Half-Life mod. And I didn't know is that back in 2010, Valve did something to Half-Life 2 Source Engine mod thing or whatever that fucked up all mods ever.
Great.
So that no mods that run this particular thing work anymore. You start it up and it says no. And then I just went back and forth, because I saw videos of people playing Nightmare House, and I was like, this looks awesome! This looks like something I so want to play, which is basically just hack and slash and shooting your way through a Nightmare House.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally found a working, someone just went into all the files and fixed them, and you just dump it into your, source app.
And it'll just work.
And it just kind of works, and, I had a blast going through that game, because it's literally a monster popping out of a closet and really effective spooky scares.
Like
and
you're grabbed by the ghoulies kind of thing.
A little more hardcore than that. I found a guy half on a toilet, meaning his bottom half, his legs, and his pelvis were sitting on a toilet, and his torso had exploded far away, and his torso's on the other side of the room. And as I'm going up a ladder, the torso starts attacking me.
Great.
And I'm just like, oh, Jesus, how embarrassing for both him and me.
Did he eat those fucking sugarless gummy bears?
He didn't. You mean Haribo?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, maybe. It looked like it. And that was the prologue of the game. That was just an establishing, here's how this game is, and then you start the first chapter, which you start in a mental institution, and it actually has a long build tension of what's happening here. You kind of see spooky things happening, but you're not quite sure, and a guy is guiding you out of this mental institute.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is really some production value, voice acting, everything for a mod. So I played that a bunch last night, and the missus kept going, she's in the bedroom watching something, and she goes, are you scared over there? Because I hear you yelping and screaming every couple of seconds. And I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah, you got to tell her you're just practicing for work.
I'm just practicing for shitstorm. But I kind of I'm not sure if I want to play it anymore because I want to leave some surprises open. But really, really enjoyable. And then I was like, everyone goes, yeah, welcome to 6 years ago when that came out. And I was like, well, in my defense, I only started to use Steam like 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I really had no interest. And then when I saw like how many, you know, horror games and crazy weird indie games come out, I check it every day now for anything that, you know, piques my interest. Mm-hmm. Especially a game that I downloaded and haven't started yet. I'm sure you might have heard of it, called Party Hard.
I only know the name.
You only know the name. It's basically parties are happening and you're a crazy guy and you're like, stop partying.
Uh-oh.
And you kind of hitman. It's an overhead pixel based thing and you try to stop the party through various
means.
That
makes me think of Stop Stress, A Day of Anger or whatever.
Sort of.
Like,
and
that game.
And its graphics and aesthetic are kind of like Hotline Miami.
Okay.
Just kind of like that. And it's just out? It's a Devolver game.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Party Hard. Also,
right.
Everyone talking about Dropsy. Dropsy the Clown.
Dropsy's awesome, yeah.
I haven't played it, but everyone's going nuts about Dropsy.
It's a point-and-click adventure where
you play as a creepy clown, and you hug
everything.
The trailer says his warm, sweaty embrace brings happiness.
Gotcha.
There's no text.
So, yeah, that's...
Really cool game.
That's
art's amazing.
Okay.
Dropsy.
Yeah, no, very, very nice pixel-based stuff.
Matt, I need to call something out. Just came to my attention.
Yes, what's
I
that?
Was robbed. I think you stole something from me, sir.
I stole something from you.
I think you
stole
something
from
me. It just came to my attention, due to various means somehow, that the next Hot Pepper Gaming thing has been recorded.
It has.
And I noticed that this has been recorded, and I was not present to have my enjoyment after suffering through what I suffered through in front of everybody. I thought we would all be able to do this mutually I would have to get some come up.
So I said a similar thing.
Walking
there are circumstances that required it be that way, unfortunately.
I mean, we can just go into
it. If you want to, yeah,
that,
go ahead.
Is that I was... While you were gone and PAX Prime was happening, I received an email saying,
"Okay,
gotta get going."
Okay.
So that's the only reason I can give you the full video.
Okay.
Though
you can dub over it.
You can dub over it
and put it on your YouPorn account.
But that actually is coming out tomorrow. Yesterday.
Monday.
Okay.
So Monday or Tuesday?
So this is actually coming. They put a tweet out saying that's going to be out Monday.
Okay. All
so
right.
So yeah,
I reviewed. That's fine then.
I reviewed Until Dawn. I did a habanero pepper, which is way, way less than a ghost pepper, but I still don't have a good time. Spicy buttholes were had, but I will actually, if I ever do this again, I will go up an octave, certainly, because I felt like this was manageable, hot, probably the hottest thing I've ever eaten, no problem.
But you could take more.
But I can probably take more, because the missus bought me two. They bought me habanero and bought me Thai chilies, which are the most exact what the logo of Hot Pepper Gaming is.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And we found various sites that said Thai chilies are less.
All right.
They're about the same as habaneros. Right. So I went with habanero.
So, okay. It's circumstances beyond your control. I still feel robbed.
You are right to feel robbed.
I understand.
So. Okay.
It's okay. It
wasn't nearly as extreme reaction here, so I'm not sure how much more enjoyment.
Just take solace in the fact that he and me and Pat are gonna be little bitches.
Yes,
and take our little sweet chili peppers.
But I need to be there because it was still that bad.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And y'all fuckers didn't let me have any quarter.
And we made
you
the best video you've ever been
you
in.
You gave me no quarter, so I need to have my comeuppance.
Sure.
At the very least, if not just a voice laughing.
If I ever do it again, I will go up an octave, certainly, and you will be there present.
I already said I got 9 ghost peppers left. Don't you dare bet me. And don't make a bet. No one make a bet.
All right.
Let's take a quick word from our sponsors. All right, Liam, grab that loot crate.
I got the loot crate, Wooly.
Got the
what
loot
do you
crate.
What do you want me to do with it?
This is the last month. This is the August one.
This is the August loot crate.
That
remind
we didn't,
me. What was in this one?
That we didn't get it. Well, I don't. You're opening it, Liam.
Oh, you're right. Do you remember the theme?
We'll find out
it's
shortly,
time
won't
to
we?
Discover
adventure
as we enter
this is an adventure
into this loot crate.
I see some stuff.
Villains. It was villains.
Was
villains.
What it was.
That's
all
what it was.
Time.
We have a loot crate exclusive.
Exclusive.
The Joker painted wooden figure.
It's actually
really cute. It's
that
like those figures. It's like those ones that you can assemble and like pop the heads on.
It looks like
stuff.
An old-timey Christmas ornament.
That's actually super cute. Why don't you
Does it say damaged?
Here.
It doesn't knife. Say damage, but he has multiple Joker heads in which to put on his wooden body.
Wield the knife
body.
And reveal him to me.
I don't want to wield this knife. It's got bloodstains all over it.
That's just styles.
We got something by EFX Collectibles. What do we got?
Cards of some type. Magic tarot cards.
We have a Hydra prop pin.
Whoa.
Oh.
Official prop replica.
Hey, Hydra.
If you want to say that you're vaguely a Nazi, there's no better way than the Hydra pin.
Exactly. We got a semi-suspicious yellow package with no text on there.
Watch it say Hulkamania.
Other than a woman. Oh, my God.
There's never more villains, of a villain right? than that.
Get that Wait, silica gel out
think,
of my
I
way.
I think I know what that is.
Well, he thinks what he knows it? What it is.
Is it an apron?
It's a floaty.
It is.
It's arm floaties.
Oh,
I need
yeah,
them.
I know
is
what
it an
this
apron?
Is.
Los Pollos Hermanos
apron.
That is awesome.
What is this?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Oh, of course.
So
yeah,
why
yeah.
would this be in a villain's box, huh?
I don't know. What an innocent looking chicken.
Oh, that's sick. This is actually like a nice apron, too.
Yeah.
Here. You can show that in your kitchen.
Don't you have a collection of aprons,
Leo? He's got
Leo?
A huge collection
Yeah, but
of
I never use them. I just cook naked.
Watch Breaking Bad and you will appreciate
and
this one.
Finally, the Marvel box.
We've got a big box that says Marvel on it. It's actually quite large. It takes up a majority of the box's space.
So maybe there's a couple of things inside.
I don't know.
Maybe it's that giant Punisher mug everyone sends
Ooh,
me pictures of.
We do have a mug, but it is a Venom mug.
Whoa!
The tongue goes all the way around
That's,
and becomes the
okay.
handle.
That is one of the best things
This is one of the
I've
best things
a,
we've
in
seen
a,
in these
holy
boxes.
Holy shit.
Easy,
you
easy,
see
easy.
That? That's
Here you go.
Fucking
That's
sick.
Actually
That's
really
really
nice.
Crazy.
And in then, there. Like usual, there's the Loot Crate monthly pin that is, of course, villains-themed.
And it's also a Venom mouth.
And
yeah.
the little Loot
That's
Crate.
Succulent. Moist Venom mouth.
Exactly. This Loot Crate magazine, as usual.
This is a mug commemorating Dipod watching the trailer for Armika.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
It also reminds me of, like, Mark Bagley Venom, which he always drew with the over-exaggerated tongue that wraps around, like, 20 feet around his own body.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There's all that green phlegm all over it.
So if you want to get in on that type of good collectible shit...
There's no way. It must be locked down, right?
It's not locked down.
What?
What?
What? Is this place?
It's crazy. All you need to do is head on down to lootcrate.com/superbest, and you can get yourself for over $40 worth of geek, gamer, pop culture gear and all this kind of good stuff delivered to your door every month.
Mm.
And if you use the code SUPERBEST, you get $3 off your new subscription. It's dope.
It's good.
It's dope.
Is good stuff.
What is the box theme?
The box is villains, of course.
Yep.
Oh,
and then this month was Summon, right? And
So this is Crime Alley, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, yeah.
I
look, the parents died right there.
Oh. Oh, little Bruce. Oh,
poor
no.
little Bruce.
Thanks, Loot Crate,
Thanks,
for commemorating
Loot
the death of
Bruce Wayne.
Martha Wayne
yeah,
and fucking, oh god.
Oh, that's a good theme. Thank you.
Liam.
Oh, that's your whole week?
You got robbed by that.
No kidding, women aren't impressed. Like.
No. I just wanted to tag that onto Matt because
okay.
I wasn't planning anything.
Okay,
you
yeah,
want me to start?
Sure. I'll take it. That's
sure.
fine. I'm really bummed this week. This is the first week I wasn't able to play Phantom Pain too much because we finally got to a point in the game where we saved on Mother Base, and the moment I call a chopper, it triggers a cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
So, gotta quit. Can't play that. So, mm-hmm. I was really pining to play it, but I couldn't. So
on your own, that is.
On my own, exactly.
Yeah.
Really quickly, just to interject there, because pass on here, and you don't want me to think, is that, like, I need to play it more myself, but he's of the opinion, he's like, he's quite disappointed with the lack of story in this one, because... It's what I share the sentiment where, like, I enjoy Metal Gear primarily for its story and its characters.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we still obviously need to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, everything I'm hearing and stuff, he's like, he's disappointed with the lack of story. And he's like, I don't know, like why? I don't know who to sort of pin that on yet. So I have no, like, avenue
yeah, exactly,
in which to
yeah.
put it on. But he's like... I'm of what I've seen so far. I'm disappointed with the lack of story. So how do you feel about it? Because he's like,
yeah.
don't get me wrong. This is the best plain Metal Gear ever.
It sounds related to what I was talking about last week with the difference between ops and a continued narrative.
Yeah, yeah, no,
we just got. Well, I don't know because Peace Walker did continue the narrative, no problem, without getting this kind of lambasting by people.
It did, although it wasn't like the best of the Metal Gear stories.
But, no, but it was there. This is worse.
But
so.
Peace Walker also gets around a little bit because you say, well, yeah. it's a handheld spinoff or yeah. something or whatever it is. But when you're, this is a five, even though Peace Walker was supposed to be
well,
five,
like,
that's
you,
still
even,
the most
even though, like, even though we
ever.
Haven't finished the game, just seeing stuff where, like, it's objective that the ending was cut and, like, big portions of the end game cut. Like,
is what people are saying.
It's objective.
Okay.
Even though I don't know what the details are, like, that is a thing that actually
happened.
It's so
weird because the start of the game is so story
heavy.
I
saw a part of the cut ending, and guess what? It didn't matter because there's so much missing between the end where the game actually ends and the cut ending that you can't even really extrapolate.
I'm amazed you had the balls to click.
Well, because someone said it. There's not enough info.
Okay.
You can't.
Okay.
There's no info there. Like, you can't possibly.
Okay, so...
And I looked at it, and I was like, whoa, you're right.
Okay, so I interjected there, but yeah, you weren't able to play it a whole bunch.
I wasn't able to play it a whole bunch as well. We're currently past Chapter 12, which is, like, a big story sequence, and it's where you unlock, like, the next big chunk of the game, kind of.
Okay.
And so story was just happening last time we recorded. Gameplay is fucking sublime. Like, we have, like... Or I have like 35 hours on that save data, so I'm having an absolute blast. I just want to play more.
I can't go a day without seeing the Zaibatsu blog, like, just re-blog a gif of you doing some stupid bullshit that works every time.
Matt,
or
think about the most unbelievable amount of box tech you've ever thought
yeah,
of.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, you're wrong. Double it.
Okay.
You can't fathom how much box tech is in this game.
There's a bunch of dumb shit for sure. There's some stuff that didn't work. Like, not too often. Like there were only like a handful of deaths so far, so we're doing good. But there was this one time where I decided to go punch a bear, and I think that episode's gone up. Like,
oh yeah, okay.
Like, we put a bunch of trank into him, and it still didn't work. And I was like, well, I gotta punch it.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
That didn't work. The bear was way stronger than anticipated.
Oh yeah.
Oh, what was it? Well, there later on when you get to go capture the legendary brown bear.
Oh yeah.
We did that. That was fun. That was the real deal.
Why does Metal Gear do these things where it makes me, like, question? No, this is stupid and made up.
It is stupid.
And then when I look it up, I'm like, there's no bears in this part of the world.
Yes,
oh, there is.
Oh, there totally
is. And then, of course, we must have all thought it. Yeah, okay, jungles in Russia, get the fuck out. And then you look it up and you go, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the realest real.
It's not up yet, but there's a boss battle that takes place, like, I think it's chapter 11.
Is this a sniper battle?
Yeah.
Okay, Pat told me about this, and I was like, oh,
okay,
God, that's
crazy. I'll show you the footage
that's
after.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
I had this stupid plan, and it worked literally perfectly. It was amazing.
Okay. I'm really happy we got that raw footage. Good.
Because
I'm hearing like that it seems like your gun jump styles are best suited for this game because this game has so many ways of handling every mission, and it's not just about stealth anymore.
Like I said it a few times in the playthrough, like I really feel like Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain, like, They can totally be played as stealth games, for sure, but it's almost more of an action movie simulator now.
Right,
where it's
right,
just like,
right.
What do you want to do?
Yeah.
How do you want to... And, like, we've... like, admittedly, my perfect stealth streak hasn't been good in the Let's Play, because guess what? It's really hard to, like, perfectly stealth stuff and commentate the first time you're going through a mission.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But we do get a few in, for sure.
Got some good stealth in, though, for sure.
But there are some missions where I just go in and say, like, yeah, going in loud. Like,
mm-hmm.
put on the battle dress. And
let's
go.
Put on the battle dress.
The battle dress costume is way better than it was in Peace Walker. I love
it. It's weird because Metal Gear then kind of not loses a bit of its identity because you can still stealth, like you said.
Yeah.
But it's such a far cry from, like, Metal Gear Solid 1, which was... You can only play it in stealth, and if you're shooting a guy, you fucked up.
It's gonna be tough.
You know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
So mm-hmm. It's good because it opens it up to a bunch of different play styles, and more people could then get in on it.
Yeah.
But because it's an open world thing, and there are those elements of stealth, and I would not when I play a Metal Gear game, if I fuck up and I'm forced to shoot a bunch of guys, everything about the game's aesthetic is telling me wrong. There's an alarm going off. There's guys screaming. You see people running, and you just go
But I think though the fact that there's so much gun variety, and it's but you're not intended to use it, is something that the previous games kind of had. And
like now they're clearly intended.
Now
to
there's
use.
Uses yeah, for exactly. these things, because you have like, when would you use a ton of these guns from MGS1, especially when you're not putting people to sleep with tranks.
And also with Peace Walker and 5, like the structure's so different. It's not like in 1 through 4 where you play through the whole game and then you get a rank and you work through the whole game to get that one rank. It's not like that at all. It's since it's mission based now.
Yeah.
It's mission based ranks, so they intend for you to come back and repeat and improve or don't improve.
But, right. Because think about it this way. Being the big boss, legendary soldier, you have your own compound. Of course it would take a while to do your missions and complete them. It's not like he goes on one epic quest, one stealth mission, and he just wins and he solves the problem. It makes sense from his perspective and in this time in his life that it's a series of missions over the course of weeks or months in different locations. It's a campaign. Yeah.
And Big Boss is a leader at this point, so these games are focusing on him.
So Solid Snake, one and two is kind of muddy because it's over the course of like 2 years, let's say, or whatever it is, and four is just weird. But in Snake Eater, it makes sense because that was one mission that defined his life, right? And in this, like, it makes perfect sense why it's not one big dumb quest, and you defeat the evil boss, and it gives you a ranking.
Yeah.
So it's cool that way. I like that part.
I think, like, also, just to bring it back a little, like, I think the multiple ways to play the game is kind of, like, a good reflection of Big Boss himself. And, like, Pat mentioned it, and I'm inclined to agree with him, where he said he doesn't feel like the canon Metal Gear plot is Big Boss rank in every game. Because that implies that Solid Snake and Big Boss never killed anyone.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say on that
they're going out of their way, especially hard in this story, to have Kaz constantly remind you, boss, this is a wet work mission.
Yeah.
We're going in, we're just assassinating. We'll leave the mission details up to you. How you want to handle it was up to you.
Yeah.
But the narrative has never pushed the idea that you are a murderer.
No, exactly.
You guys do not have your hands clean, and don't think that you're heroes.
I mean, it makes sense, though, when you consider, like, who Kaz was in Peace Walker, and then you add a 9-year horrible gap of life in there, and it's like, yeah, okay, this is who you are now.
Or even the Kaz that you find in Portable Ops. Because I found out the whole game's not decanonized. It's only certain parts of it. But your meeting with Miller is a meeting that you need to that needs to be real. So
yeah, exactly.
That exists. But ultimately, that's the thing. They're trying to make you really know that even if you're playing this with your trank and you're Fultoning everybody,
there's options. You got options.
And you have options. But Big Boss was a killer. You know?
For sure. I think that was the canon, frankly.
Yes. Yeah. I'm way deep in. I've been doing nothing but play the game.
Whenever I log on to, like, I boot up my Xbox One, I see you're playing it.
Yeah.
In there.
What's your percentage at?
40. 2.
Okay.
I've been playing it. I've been there every day. 2%.
I'm at 40.
Well, actually, a better indicator. What's your last mission number completed?
I'm in the high 20s.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, event wise, I just met another character from the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, so things are going. The fucking lead up, there's this moment of like, I don't know how to put it, but it's a meta moment where you have to do things outside of gameplay to continue playing.
Okay.
I have to dance really hard around this.
Sure.
It's so fucking good.
Cool, good. I'm glad.
There's a great moment of like, put on your thinking cap
and do something
and figure this out.
Yeah,
because this is really important. and then it directly leads into your first major. Here's your grip around the collar of your plot.
Yeah,
this is what's happening, and it's like, oh my god, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that I know that there's been some feedback coming in. I wish there was more frequent story because like the in and out kind of loses the momentum.
Yeah, but there's a lot of missions in between.
The momentum gets lost, and some of the urgency in Kaz's voice, you get desensitized to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, boss, we got to do this. Like, every random dude that gets kidnapped needs to be extracted.
I know we got to save.
Yeah, this guy. You know, you're great. Kind of going, all right, Kaz, I get it, but what plot is there is fucking great, and now that it's starting, I'm like. I'm making Metal Gear face.
That's good. Yeah.
So far, I'm really happy that I've had a nice peak to the game so far.
I almost feel like, regardless of where it ends, I can't not feel like this is one of my favorite games this year. It plays so perfect.
Dude, the game, there's nothing to even say gameplay-wise.
Nothing else plays like this.
Unbelievable,
right? I think I mentioned it last week.
It's next-gen gameplay that you can still get on your 360 and PS3.
I think I mentioned it last week, but like I think like rolling into it... it's going to take me for maybe to beat it or whatever to really say, but I think the big boss as a character, or lack thereof, in terms of that he just can't speak that much, he just doesn't have any lines, regardless, it's still going to be, like, way below, like, Metal Gear Solid 3 for me in that regard, just because of the story and how important it made Big Boss seem in that. And what he's super important here is just that his lack of interaction with everybody. And it's such a weird thing, because you either go from Link, who doesn't interact really at all, so from facial expressions, to a character that kind of does it, but not really, makes me feel even less.
Yeah,
because you animate Link's face. Sure, a reason regardless, but I don't think it makes for a very gripping narrative as you're doing it.
And of course, the fact that you're, like I said, your codec conversations are all one way, and occasionally you get cassette recordings that are,
and they're still really interesting. The voice acting is impeccable, but you feel like you're in a museum and you put on the headphones and the guy is just narrating you as you're walking around.
Now the thing is those, part of that is definitely because you can change characters and like some of the. There's a thing where, like, you know you can play as different soldiers that you've brought to Mother Base, so like it needs to kind of be seamless in terms of how you go in and out of playing Snake or not Snake.
Yeah,
but still, I'm very much used to, you know, pause the game and then listen to this codec cutscene.
Put the controller down.
Yeah, and listen to this cutscene. But you know, they kind of, I guess, wanted to have a game that didn't force people to go through that if they didn't want to listen to that stuff instead of mashing X through it. Yeah. So, you know, it kind of feels like it's a solution to some issues for some people. But there's a concession, and it's that momentum is lost. That's the only concession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, like you said,
otherwise the gameplay,
there's nothing on like it. Nothing. And you know what? And it's the most uninviting control scheme ever.
Because you look at that.
Every Metal Gear is the most uninviting control scheme ever,
but there's never
anything like it, and it's always a leap above every mainline Metal Gear.
But this one is
far and beyond the most.
I can't imagine handing that controller to anyone I know, and just going, "All right, you'll figure it out." Like,
the last one I could think of that was that complex is MGS4.
Right.
And MGS4 is fucking crazy. And 3 is crazy.
And it's not just how many options you have, it's just so nuanced, because every place that you're standing changes the whole controller layout again.
Yeah.
You know, learning how, like shit that's, like, super useful, like rolling and leaping off of ledges instead of hanging over them, are things that are, like, you might...
Super context sensitive.
And hidden for some people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, no, definitely.
Amazing. It's your week. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. Game's incredible.
I can't say anything else without like getting into heavy spoilers.
No, for sure.
But sorry. I just something just came to mind. I know. Sorry. Yeah, your eyebrows shifty. Shifty eyebrows there. But you're giving me a shifty look.
Yeah.
Those shifty famous looks you got.
I was concerned about FOB stuff, and I don't have much interest in it based on a lot of the setup for it.
I like.
And then there's the first time you get one, the tutorial really forces you to. Like, no, go look at this. Go look and consider buying some money.
Think about it, yeah.
Go think about it. And then you ignore it, and then it makes you do the tutorial again if you go, no, I don't want to do
it. Great. Wonderful. Can't wait to get there.
But there's some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's some cool stuff. So it's not as bad as you think.
I don't think it's... Like, I don't care.
Okay.
I'm ambivalent.
You can take it or leave
people,
it.
Some people hate it, but I'm completely ambivalent because I'm not going to use it, you know, so...
Like, like if you invade somebody's FOB you do it perfectly stealthy, they'll have no idea who came in and took their shit and
that's
left.
Cool.
But if you get seen or alerted in any way, they know your name and they can
and
revenge.
And they can teleport to your place.
They can revenge on you.
Because I'm pretty ambivalent. I'd rather not do it again because you already heard me say how like I have more of a focus and interest on story.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's so far beyond away from it. But I'm still like, I'm sure it's like well designed and interesting or whatever, but I almost feel like that was a mobile game or some type of social aspect that they wanted to put in there. Like some type, not mobile game, but like some other type of app.
Yeah, it was a second
or
thing. It was what the US team was working on.
Either way, I don't think I'm going to touch it too much. The US team's doing MGO3.
Oh, right, you're right. Yeah.
They might have done both, because
there's a lot
of shared tools there, I'm sure, but
they're harder, man. They're a lot harder than the normal missions, I'll tell you
what. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Well, you don't have a buddy, first of all.
Yeah.
And then you gotta fucking do it old school.
That'll do the trick.
Yeah. Because those buddies... Dude, oh man.
DD is just a wall hack.
No. That's not... DD is nothing.
Quiet just kills everyone.
Quiet is the ultimate fucking easy operation.
Anyone says that I've seen, they're like, you take DD if you just really love dogs, or you take Quiet if you want to beast the game. And that's the difference.
One other thing about the side ops, because I know you've been doing that in your free time.
Yeah, as much as I can.
I've been enjoying them, but the variety, I really wish they would front load it, because the repetitions of like extract 9, extract 10, extract 44 is getting a bit.
I mean, that's why they're side ops.
They
right?
are.
Like,
they
if
are.
If those were all main missions, then fuck this game, 0 on 10.
Whenever a yellow one pops up and it's like, this is an important side op, I'm like,
when we got the first important side op, like, our eyes widened when it turned into a real mission in front of our eyes.
Yes,
like,
that's fun stuff.
Yeah.
But they really do lock away some of the funner objectives until later.
There's some, well, of course, just like Peace Walker with the dates with Paz and stuff like
that's
that.
Not
yeah,
even,
the fun
not even
stuff.
What
date,
I meant.
Date with Miller.
Yeah,
fight
yeah, 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 yeah.
That's
yeah,
all
yeah.
super end game stuff in Peace Walker. Like, did you at least do some of the Mother Base soldier restoration missions in the side ops?
Yeah, of course.
Because those are a riot.
No,
those are a blast.
I've done almost every side op. Like, my side op thing has like one or two unchecked boxes
there,
at a time,
yeah.
And it's like deep, it's like whatever. Extract the soldier, 14 or 15.
Did you do the target shooting R&D platform?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, what a fucking trial.
Okay, I didn't beat that one.
Oh no,
I didn't
dude, it
beat
took
that
me
one.
Like 5 or 6 tries.
It was
grueling.
I tried multiple times and then I just gave the fuck up. Because that moment you have when you fail where you can run around and see where they were, I still haven't found the body of them.
Dude, it took me like 6 tries to do it. It's so hard.
I can't believe it.
It's so much harder than the others. It's
like,
great.
Matt, like for context, you have every Mother Base platform has a shoot the targets mission.
Side off
right.
And they're almost all like stand in this one spot and like spin around and see them all.
And they evolve to like walk on this
follow
path,
the path
just
of targets till the end and you have like 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
But then you
it.
Get the R&D platform.
But the R&D
one.
Platform
they
is just like
all over the
go
place.
Hunt down 35 targets and they're fucking
you have 5 minutes, go.
Holy shit,
it's tight. It's
That's
tight
nice.
For sure. It's really cool.
But
really cool
but no, there's definitely some really interesting side ops that like I'm just like I wish you had this variety thrown at me earlier.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
You know?
But, I mean,
but anyway.
That's every Metal Gear, I guess, right? Like, it starts out serious, and it's not until you peel away the layers that you're like, wait, no, this is an anime.
yeah.
It's just like one of my Japanese
exactly,
animes.
Exactly.
Have you done any cardboard sledding?
Oh, a little bit. I did a little bit.
Okay.
Not too much. Like, I thought it was really cool, but yeah, when I saw videos of people doing really elaborate hill runs, I was like, that's good shit. That's good shit.
You're the boss.
People calling in airstrikes to capitalize their finale at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
Like, when you win win first place in a racing game, there's some type of fanfare at the bottom of the hill.
Exactly.
Or just drop that stun grenade right at your feet when you're surrounded. Jump in a box. It ain't gonna touch you.
Yeah.
It gets everybody else.
Super cool. The boxes are a blast, though. Absolutely.
Yeah, I haven't played enough with them, but I know about it. I know about
it. Just do shit. Just, like, put a box down, slide out of it, let people find that box.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just do shit.
I saw Jared from Hot Pepper Gaming. He was playing Metal Gear, and he wrote a tweet that was like, Miller, Snake, why are you sending us so many donkeys? Snake, dot, dot, dot. Miller, dot, dot, dot. Snake, did you put up my anime posters yet? It's just like, I can actually hear these conversations running through my head.
That screenshot of like DD wearing goggles and it just starts guest starring Child Soldiers. This is like, this is Metal Gear in a nutshell.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Or just the animation swaps between Ocelot and Quiet in the rain.
And DD?
And DD just. Ocelot just jamming his dick down your throat you're picking him up.
There's a line that Ocelot says early in the game where he talks about how they're developing cardboard boxes and he doesn't know why, but Miller insisted that we have
them. I don't really understand the applications of this, but Miller said you would really want us to spend millions of R&D on this box.
It's unfortunate in the playthrough. I haven't gone back to Mother Base and seen Ocelot on the base because he doesn't appear there except for in that mission, the third flashback mission, and it's a bummer because I wanted to show off the tranquilizer stuff.
Yeah,
because when I found that when I first played the game, I was like, "This is the best."
You have to do it right away.
I did that right away when you told me like that's possible. So I did it. And
it's great.
I've been trained to do.
That being said,
like Mother Base is fucking huge and vapid.
Everyone likes getting bopped by the boss. The best.
Harder. But there's not a whole lot to do outside of finding diamonds and ripping down posters.
Well, we were a bit bummed. We went to the animal platform and we were like, oh, there's not much here.
There's absolutely nothing there.
Like, it was actually like a bit.
For the loading that it takes to get to the animal conservation platform, there's no reason to go
there. Like, maybe it gets a cutscene when you actually fill out the whole roster.
Yeah, like that thing that you get that weird stinky when you haven't been showering. And you go to the platform, you know the one I'm talking about?
It's like, you go take a shower.
And you have to have your social link up with Quiet, all the way. So maybe there's other stuff like that in the game, or if you do a certain thing.
I was just hoping we'd go platform. And Miller would be telling us how great animals were.
Yeah, well,
or maybe you can have FOV missions where people can steal your animals.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the real hell.
For what purpose if they don't do much?
For their Dimensions NGO.
Although it's like, fuck a shower. You just find a puddle and roll in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
And you get refreshed.
It does the deal. And you get the note and everything.
And you actually take more hits when you're refreshed.
It reminds me of like all of like the bullshit in Ground Zeroes where it's like get on the ground, roll 30 times to get the patch to fall off.
I think it might have started with Snake Eater where they were basically like every staff member working on this has to add Omake to the game.
I think in 2 they had that, but...
It was only... 3's more memorable. 3's where you know where you can catch them all.
Yeah.
The fucking Measle Gear Solid and all that right? So it feels like in this case...
Or leaving the transmitter on yourself and you get that extra dumb rustling cutscene with rustling holds with Eva.
Oh, God. Like, there's so many. So many. And it feels like this time they did the same thing, but they said...
The entire game revolves around
it. But they did the same thing, but they said make it something that you do with your character. Like, not just things you find, but like
but stuff
secret moves,
look
secret
at all
applications.
The buttons we got.
Yeah.
Dude, the $6 million man sound effects.
Yeah.
I gotta stop fantasizing about Lee Majors. One more.
and the type of arm tech that you eventually
get.
Yeah,
like the wisp and stuff. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I wish they hadn't put in the trailer the wisp.
Rocket punch!
Well, that was the one that I didn't know about.
It was all given away.
That was like, oh! Oh man.
It's great hearing Kiefer yell that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Kiefer's great in the role. He's super good.
I'm in.
I think he's fantastic.
I'm in at this point. But it's still sad.
It's sad, but like Snake has always sounded like a cartoon character and not like a real person,
which is why he's so much more memorable.
How do I put this? I can deal with this, and like the fact that it's Big Boss eases that a little bit. If it ever were Solid Snake,
I'd have a much
bigger problem with it.
Boss has had a multitude of voice actors.
That's it, right? And so when it comes down to it, like. when a character like Solid Snake says, "Yo, my name is David."
Yeah.
Fuck you, you can't recast
Solid,
that.
Solid's gotta stay the same.
No matter what happens. Mm-hmm. And, like, even if you want to get big Hollywood on it, you can't, man. It's mm-hmm. too attached. You know? But everything else is more or less fine.
He sounds good, though, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I guess the only other thing I did this week was I played a bit of Destiny 2.0 after, like, the big patches came out, like, pre-Taken King stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, boy, holy shit, it's improved. Previously, you had, like, a hard level cap, and then you gained what was called light levels, right? Which is these, like, numbers attached to your gear. And you'd basically be grinding away for better gear so you can raise your light level. Because once you're at the cap, doesn't fucking matter. Your light level's all that mattered, whether you're going to be able to do damage to big enemies and shit. Now they've just gotten rid of light levels completely. Level cap's 40. Enjoy. And so, like, I'm back to leveling up with experience, and it's just fun.
It's like they should have done that from the start.
It's like they should have done that from the start.
Is there an improved...
Nolan bot sounds good. I don't know if he's better than Dinklage bot. I don't really mind either
way. Is there an improved, like, gameplay flow in terms of, like, your plot delivery system and, like, making
it
more engaging?
There's more of it. Okay. Basically it. Yeah. Okay. It's like, all-around improvements. I was looking down the patch list, and I was like, there's no negatives here, unless you really like Peter Dinklage's voice. Like, mm-hmm. there's no negatives here. So.
No, well, my reason for, like, not going back was kind of just the sterile laboratory feeling of everything kind of didn't make me want to load it up again. I don't know,
I kind
of
get you a little bit.
Yeah. I
love the art and the gameplay in Destiny, mm-hmm. so, like, it kept me coming back always.
Like, the last time I turned it off, I didn't think to myself, well, I'm done. I just went, okay.
It just never happened
And then again. It just never happened again.
Right,
you know?
I hear you.
So.
Maybe give it another... I mean, it's 2.0 now. It's, like, huge improvements. All I can say is it's better than it was before by wide margins. Like,
okay.
Huge improvements across the
line. They got my money.
you already got
what
a disc,
what do you
right?
Want,
like,
right?
Yeah,
not
may
even
as well.
Digital, but yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah.
They have it.
Still.
I paid them.
But it's fun. I don't know. I'm not going to jump into the Taken King right away because I still have some, like, House of Wolves stuff to do, but fun game. It's just enjoyable. I'm never going to do all the endgame bullshit, though, but...
And, like, and the other thing is, like, playing a dedicated, like, crew of friends online and stuff. Like, yeah, because that, which means you can only go so far.
You can go really, like, you only get locked out of a little bit. Like, I want to say maybe less than 7 missions you get locked out of, like, probably 60 plus. Like,
oh, okay.
It's not a very big percentage.
I thought it was a WoW type thing where it's like once you hit cap, the end, the game begins at that stage.
That's kind of it for all games of this type. But there's like the problem is there's only like 5 or 6 actual raids in the game. So so that's all you're really getting locked out of that and like one of the multiplayer modes called I think it's Prison of the Elders or no Trials of Osiris that requires you to have 2 other friends with you. It's a really cool mode actually where like basically you buy a card, like a punch card almost.
Yeah.
And every time you win you punch a hole in the punch card, right? But if you lose 3 matches, you lose the punch card for the week. So it's a competitive thing where you and your buddies have to win 10 before you lose 3 in order to get like the really good shit.
Wow.
And you get like really cool gear. You're really sick looking
doing
gear,
your dailies
actually.
Kind of thing.
Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's fun, but I don't know, I'm enjoying the game. Still gorgeous, still sounds great, still plays great, but yeah, story's never been good.
Yeah.
No sugarcoating it.
Send me that eventual cutscene of like the crazy battle between the fucking Edge of the Planet and the Traveler. That's what I want to see.
Well, you gotta fucking watch all the trailers, like the amazing CG trailers, they look fantastic. Like
mm-hmm,
they're worth
mm-hmm,
your time
mm-hmm.
for sure.
But I want bullets and lasers shooting up and down between both surfaces.
Yeah, well, I remember that was your like fantasy dream for what it would be.
God, that game would be amazing if it was that. But anyway,
yeah, I played a bit of Gone Home, Grow Home,
right? Grown Home,
Grow
yeah.
Home.
That's those are 2 different things.
Yeah, no, I've been saying Gone Home because I guess I'm just so used to hearing that name.
I also
no,
feel
Grow
like
Home.
Saying
that. I beat it. Really fun game. Not much going on. All you do is climb and move stuff around, but it's fun.
Yeah, you know, Sterling has been praising it for quite a bit.
It feels fun to move around, and I know some people get frustrated. I've read like complaints about like, oh, I keep falling. It's like, well, be careful. You know, that's all
there is to it, right?
Like, just be careful, but it's fun. Oh,
it's no Scalar, but
no, exactly. Well, nothing will ever be Scalar or
except
Vex,
Scalar
or Ty, the Tasmanian kangaroo, or
whatever
the fuck ever.
K
or K Legacy
Anniversary
K,
of
yeah.
K.
Mario Maker came out.
Mario Maker came out.
Mario Maker, nuts. Mario Maker's real good, as expected.
And they got rid of that thing, huh? That
nut. Yeah, dude, well, they cut it down aggressively.
The fucking
yeah.
sound effects of that can play whenever you like jump on enemies' heads or whatever.
Or you can record sounds and stuff.
Yeah, that. Anything. Oh, that's my crazy. God, the videos I've seen coming out. Mario jumping on Goombas, like, what are those?
Yeah. No, it's.
like, all the Vine jokes just getting transported into Mario Maker.
When they
Maker.
Were showing off the features in, like, early videos, like, not. Like, people weren't paying too much attention to them, but they were there, and it was like, the potential's been there. It's fucking amazing.
I saw recently that this was actually supposed to be Mario Paint for the Wii U.
Well, I believe it.
Well, the return of the fucking fly swat thing, you know.
Yeah, but like the genesis of this project was like the main director, producer, whatever. It was like, yeah, let's make a new Mario Paint, and just evolved into into 30th anniversary of Mario, and evolved in this whole thing. And I actually think like it's probably the better choice.
Yeah,
in terms of you know getting people on board,
well,
and
especially
lots
since Art Academy already exists.
Yeah, and there are lots of apps and things. So.
But Mario Paint really came down to the fucking Music Maker.
Yeah, it was the Music Maker and like the gimmick of a mouse.
Yes,
which was really cool.
Which I spent quite a bit of time on Mario Paint.
Cool. Yeah, no, it was a neat game, but it was
in this day and age, I kind of think they'd look at the Music Maker and think this is its own app.
Yeah,
this is its own other game.
No, exactly. Like it can't hold up. Not counting the user generated stuff, because I'm going to talk about that in a second, there's very little meat on these bones. Like, if you don't have a network connection, don't even bother buying this game.
There's no offline to be.
You can make levels, you can play them offline, so that's if you have a buddy to play with, you can enjoy that for sure. There's a selection of, like, courses to play that are Nintendo made, but they are not Mario levels. They're like a quarter of the length focused around one gimmick. Like, all of them kind of feel like they're trying to, like, inspire you with
get
different
you started.
Ideas, kind
to
of.
Show you some possibilities,
but
that's about it.
When I read, I don't even remember where, but I read pre-release there was going to be a bunch of, like, pre-made levels and stuff. I was like, oh, fucking awesome. You're telling me I'm getting a little Mario campaign for these four games? Amazing. It's not that. You get, like, a handful of little...
Intro levels
that aren't particularly great. Okay. And then beyond that, you should buy this game if you want a billion terrible Mario levels.
So how is that, what's the word I'm looking for, curation process going?
Okay, so they have a couple things. They have, like, most popular, they have up and coming, which I guess is, there's some algorithm to look at who's playing what or something, I don't know. And then they have, like, a most recent thing. Top rated is garbage. It's complete trash. Lots of people complaining about it. It's all like, don't touch the button. You know, like auto Mario scrollers that we've all seen a million times on YouTube.
Yeah,
those things that people are being exposed to for the first time.
And people are just going, I like this.
Yeah. And so the top ranked is like, it's that shit, and it's stuff where it's like, I made a Sonic game in Mario.
Yeah.
I made a Metroid in Mario.
Yeah.
So there's not much that's actually really good in terms of like Mario game design in the top ranked, but if you like just go down the list of like up and coming and stuff, you'll find good ones at whatever pace they happen to be available at, but there's certainly, I feel like there needs to be like a more personalized curation.
So that's what makes or breaks a game like this, right? And N Plus was fucking phenomenal because like, even before you got to the user generated levels,
you mean the 360 release specifically?
Yeah, N+.
Okay, yeah.
Even before you got to the user generated levels, you had thousands of fucking
too many levels,
MetaNet developed levels for you
too
to
many
go
levels.
Through, and they were all like, they maximized their own ideas.
They're all solid, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you go through the categories that you had for the user generated ones, and there was a ton of categories and a ton of ways to find the exact types of stuff you want.
Mm-hmm.
So anything shy of that is kind of not what I'm used to. And if you're telling me there's not even the single player part that like N Plus had, it's like shit, man.
No, there isn't a tagging system or anything. Like a tagging system would really help if there was ways to categorize stuff. Almost, like if you could just make your own favorites list and like share it with your friends or something, or see
follow
what your
a creator.
See what you can follow creators.
Okay,
but like that's
so you find
it.
Someone that has a great level that you can.
Yeah, exactly. And I've done that much for a few people because there are some, and some of the levels that people are making with like the sound effects and filters and stuff are an absolute blast. This one like horror themed Japanese level.
Oh, really?
It's
cool.
Super great. But like, not a lot of meat on those bones until like the good levels really start coming out. Because I've probably played maybe like 10 levels that I would really say are like good Mario style levels, and then like out of like 200 levels I've played.
But you know, at the same time, I think a lot of kids are just looking for the gag level. They're looking for the recreation thing / don't touch the button.
Like, you know? when every set of three levels is don't touch anything, super ultra hard epic, and I made X game in Mario.
Yeah,
like that's the problem, really.
I don't even mind the super hard stuff if it's like fun and well done.
I played a few that were fun, but yeah, a few of them are just like.
But Yarikomi is a thing. We know it. It exists. It's there.
I think it's one of those things where it's like it just came out this past Friday, so not even a week. So it's like
it needs time
for the levels to really filter in with a lot of good stuff. Yeah. And like for the casuals that just want to play like whatever, they don't care about the quality so forth. And that your best bet is to like any friends that you have. Like on Twitter specifically, I would see like Gerard and Satch and all these people like
posting level numbers.
They know themselves and their friends, and they're like, well, let's just do this because why would we fuck around with other things? But yeah, for an in complete package, it's like you need at least a month to really.
The Little Big Planet calculator was not built on day one.
No, of course not. I was just going to say, like, even though Mario plays a million times better than Little Big Planet does, I remember like getting an early copy of Little Big Planet after the delay, and even on day one or pre-day one on Little Big Planet, you could go online and you could eyeball which stages were going to be great and which stages were going to be terrible based on the amount of care people put in.
I think there's more kids playing this though.
Like I think there's more kids playing this, but like B, like also when the art style's all unified, it's a lot harder to pick out how much care people put into levels, you know what I mean? Just eyeballing it.
Since we're talking about like kind of emulating making levels and stuff, I have to ask like something about the doc. Do you have anything about Disney Infinity in there?
That's
really cool.
That's a thing.
I think that's super cool.
That's a thing.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
because okay, I was going to say this is a time to bring that up.
I guess. I mean, because
just a sec. But yeah,
sure. Sorry.
The only thing about Mario Maker is we're gonna do a Mario Maker video. We're not 100% there yet. We still gotta ask some buddies of ours to make some levels. I'm going to be making a post on the Two Best Friends Play subreddit probably today, which is Monday, and it's gonna give you all the details. Basically, we're going to do a Mario Maker video in like a week or something, and we're going to ask for any of you guys who have a Wii U and Mario Maker to just post
all five of you
to just post level codes for good levels you made. And we're not looking for Yarikomi stuff. We're not looking for like don't touch the button stuff. Unless you make a really amazing one, I'm going to check them all. Or hilarious, exactly.
In fact...
I guess the only rule is, like, think about it that you want, like, a level that just makes a good moment in a potential video.
Don't even instruct.
No, but I just want to make sure everyone knows that if you a Yarikomi level, nobody's going to get through.
Okay.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, make whatever level you think is cool. I'm going to look at all of them. We can't use all of them because we can only go for so long, but we're going to pick, like, I mean, it depends on how long the levels are to finish, but
if your question
anywhere
mark,
between, like, 10 and 15 levels, maybe.
If your question mark dick butt doesn't have shading on it, I'm not gonna care.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna care.
So,
wouldn't even lick that.
Yeah.
So get in
there. Hater Fistinator comes out of hibernation.
No, Hater Fistinator was the guy that wrote on the subreddit, it's like, why do you assholes hate Toronto? I live in Toronto. And I was like,
Toronto
sucks.
Well, no, I'm just talking about because the Soul Calibur, like,
no,
shit.
No, but I think it's the same guy.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I'm saying he comes out of hibernation to get out of it.
No, but he already did once.
Yes.
This is like
the user generated stuff. Never mind. It's okay.
But,
it's
all right.
Like, he hasn't been in a cage the entire time.
You got Gambate, mes amis. The other level type is like Amiibo Museum. These are all the Amiibos I have. Try all their costumes out.
Ew.
Amazing.
That's it? What? What is the point of that? Okay, whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
Because people want to see the Amiibos, because you can't buy these plastic toys
in
the store.
These are the only place.
I've really turned around on Amiibos. I used to love them. I just bought a Ganondorf one. I used to love them. Now I just buy them from compulsion.
Well, all I see on my Facebook wall
is people
just being like, why did I get back in? and the Ganon one was the one that's turning people
right, yeah, right now. Right now, I want Ganon. Ahead. I want Falco when he's good, and then I'm waiting for the next batch. Get Roy, get Ryu.
So yeah, you're still super right. in for a while.
I'm still super in. But boy, has Nintendo not demonstrated the ability to make them good.
It seems like they don't need to. Because like, people still want them, and they're still a huge success.
But they should so still like, make a should, good application
I understand
for
that,
it,
but why bother when you're already successful?
Because they're Nintendo, and I hold them to a higher standard.
You were wrong.
Like, it's like, how about you fucking, or at the very least, like, I don't know.
Maybe they didn't think it was going to be a success. So
maybe this is
ahead.
The time when you pre-orders make sense. Because then you build according to the number. You know what I mean? Like, when it's production, as opposed to just, like...
you gotta ship more than just the pre-orders, because look at all the people complaining that they couldn't even get a pre-order in.
Certainly.
They need way more than that.
But that's what I mean. At least you get a semblance for, like, how much you've got to ramp that up, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Let's say even Wooly, who's pretty ambivalent towards it, and be like, eh. Or let's say he might even go the other way and go, ah, Amiibos suck. Giant, mega, yarn... Yoshi yeah. and Wooly just starts Yoshi. Going like, yeah, exactly. You know, like everyone has a thing where they'll go, "I'm done," and then something will come along, something will pull you back.
Yeah,
in.
Exactly.
You think they'll ever be like?
Just give me my life size Zero Suit Samus Amiibo.
the
queen of Amiibos.
Sensors on her butt.
Sensors on her butt.
Can't wait for that Amiquo.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna buy it day one.
Absolutely,
man.
Absolutely.
And it feels shitty. To feel like that's the right thing.
But it's the right thing.
But it's the right thing in this case, because fuck.
Like, Shovel Knight Amiibo.
Shovel Knight Amiibo.
I want it super bad.
I want that too. Again, it's just stuff like Skylanders Supercharge not supporting DK and Bowser. Like stuff like that is just
well,
fucking
anything
horseshit.
Not supporting anything.
Yeah, exactly.
When there's no reason for it.
Or like Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. How in the world did you decide to make Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival when you have over 40 Amiibos just sitting there waiting to have a festival? Like, and no, yeah. You're gonna make 9 more Animal Crossing Amiibos instead of using those ones?
I still think the game we're thinking of has to be in the works. Like it would be so incredibly
ignorant. I agree.
For the all Amiibo game.
I agree. Feel like it'll be the last thing they ever do. Like they'll send out Amiibos with this. Like they can't keep continuing this forever, right? It can't be a cross generational
thing. As long
thing.
As it's making as much money as it is, it's gonna.
You know what? I guess
gonna.
So. And but
no
I
reason.
Almost feel like
Wait,
you
there's,
gotta
there's
have
nothing,
a...
There's nothing stopping them from being cross generational.
Yeah.
No, but like I think just. Interest will have to die.
Season
two,
different poses.
Oh my god,
you're
Smash
so
Brothers
right.
Season two would be
oh
gross.
Oh god, you're so right.
Right?
And those will sell even better.
How many Marios do we have already?
All of
Four,
them.
4, 5. We have Smash Mario, we have Mario, we have Silver Mario, Gold Mario, Retro 8-Bit
Mario,
Dr. and Mario. Modern 8-Bit Mario.
Way more
upcoming
than
Dr. Mario. Luigi kind of counts.
and also Samus. She's kind of like Mario.
Way more than 4, my friend.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's,
there you go.
This is bananas.
All right, that's enough of my boat talk.
Yeah. All right. My week was, yeah, not much impressive. I got around to finishing off Rick and Morty Season 2. Or not finishing off, but... Catching up to Rick and Morty Season 2 because I'd only watched Season 1.
Is it still going?
Rick and Morty is still... As far as I know, it's still going.
Okay, yeah.
And, oh my god, you want to talk about, like, upping the ante.
I really want to watch it.
Uncomfortableness.
Oh, man. Because they know that it's a new season and that everyone's already used to the level of cringe.
Or they should be.
So they're just like, step it up.
We have to step it up.
Step
and
it up.
They do so fucking
good.
Hard.
Good, I'm glad.
Oh, just blowing everything out of the water.
Because I only watched like 5 episodes, and I was like, I'll continue this at some point. But
no, they're hitting new levels of like, fuck what television tells us you have to do.
We're going
to
do this.
Yeah.
We're Cartoon Network.
We do not care about the rules of TV at all. It's amazing. Fun stuff. Keep watching. We talked about Phantom Prince already. You know, like that's been pretty
that's
much
the best.
That's been the
best. Game.
That's been the air.
Yeah.
You know, although to be fair, sometimes when I'm done playing, I put the controller down to let my mission finish because it's a 2-hour fucking contract that I sent my guys out on.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, and like it's, I'm like, I'm whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Sit in the helicopter for 2 hours and stare at Quiet's ass. Like,
why not?
You know?
Or Ocelot.
Or D-Dogs.
And I finally. Like,
I wish D-Horse could get in the chopper.
Yeah,
with you.
It's such a shame that he can't.
It's a real bummer.
Get some
Sucks.
Horse porn going.
Sucks, man.
Just D-Horse, like, getting swapped in for Quiet's model in the rain sequence.
Dude, there's...
It's great.
All your buddies should be able to go anywhere.
Yeah.
No, and yeah, I finally got around to watching Dangan Wrestling. Like,
it's cool,
and
isn't
going
it?
Through it. That shit right? is enjoyable and hilarious and is triple good when you actually know Danganronpa.
It's like it's multiple levels too deep for most people.
It's watchable if you don't know Danganronpa. It's it's funny. But if you do,
if you know Danganronpa and you have surface level knowledge of wrestling.
And it's or great. Maybe Street Fighter.
And maybe Street Fighter.
Right? Because that's not just those two things.
No, it's there's, not. You're totally
there
right.
There are other things that get involved.
There's and other limbs in there.
It's fun. It's fucking great. Then, you know, Phantom Pain just filled up the week.
Because it's so good.
It's such an easy game to play all day.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
I don't...
That's my
That's the thing.
Too. Yeah.
They, like, even, every, like, other games, like Bloodborne on my own and, like, you know, other big stuff, you do sessions and be like, all right, I'm done. But you can really just sit and fan of pain.
It's just all it's just day. Fun to play is I its mean, biggest strength.
It's and you're trying different things each time. You're going in differently.
It's the same gameplay flow, and I know you haven't played them that much, but same gameplay flow as those other games. Not really Ubisoft per se, but it's the busy work thing where there's always something
there's always
you can kind of do. Where you can go on that mission, you can explore over there, see what that is, try things different ways. And the game that did that kind of for me is that Blood Dragon, it wasn't really like that. There was because that was just a pack of DLC. But Far Cry 4 was like, yeah, I spent like an entire day one time, and every time I finished something, like as I'm driving by completing something, I went wait
peer
and
out
I
the window.
Got off, and then said, let me investigate over there. It's a thing that someone looks at the map and sees how something should cross. That so you get a little whiff of what you got going on over there. What you got over there? So you kind of just ping pong from one thing or another, and then you look and you said, "Oh, I missed the wedding."
The
you know
the most interesting thing about Metal Gear in that regards
in
terms of
MGSV
is like it doesn't like the map isn't peppered with towers. And,
no, but it's
like,
the same type
diamonds
of
diamonds and stuff.
Yes,
like it's
because Matt, I have played games like that before. I've played Brotherhood. I've played, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where there's tons of little icons for you to run around and do shit, but I just didn't feel compelled or interested
at
all.
But Assassin's Creed does it a little bit different than Far Cry, whereas
it does.
Far Cry just puts it all out there, and it's usually do gameplay. It's not go buy a piece of fucking art or like a little upgrade and you go and you watch a canned animation happen.
Oh,
that
sure.
was it. Like, I don't think Assassin's Creed ever did it super well. Where Far Cry did it, and I didn't play, like, I played Far Cry 1 a little bit, I barely touched 2, and I played 3, I didn't really like the setup, but I liked the setup of Far Cry 4 so much better, and, like, I know it's like, yeah, there's not towers, per se, in Metal Gear, but still, because I, you know, I did a couple of side ops, and I started it, but I felt it hits that same itch of, you can just play it all day,
for sure.
And you just, like, there's no logical stop point, really. You can just keep going and going and going.
There's moments in the Assassin's Creed where it's like, okay, I'm ignoring this side stuff, and like a thief grabs
sucks.
My money.
Yeah.
Like, fine, I'll chase this thief, and oh, I guess I'll rescue the guy getting beat up while I'm catching this thief, you know, type
that's,
of thing.
Had that happen once in Unity where like something happened like that, and I was like, no. I just kept
I don't,
running.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
I don't even want to.
Like,
I played like 50 hours of Unity. I had a lot of fun, but like, after a certain point, you really gotta do something.
Whereas here, I will do 2 story missions and then go, all right, D-Walker, you and me, we're doing a couple of missions.
Over. Yeah.
And we just roam the countryside. Roll it like
a mission.
Yeah, and I set an itinerary of like, here's some side missions, and whatever I find in between is also good.
Yeah,
that's a good one too.
Do it.
You know, and it's fucking great.
D-Walker moves so fast; it's great.
It's so fun to control him.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly worth it to like call out your buddy, bring in D-Walker, go where you want to go, and then switch back out.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it's so cheap and easy to switch buddies. Like, it's
fast.
I was glad to see that that's clearly, like, super intentional. Like, change buddies whenever you feel like you need a different buddy.
You know? Like,
I need a better buddy.
As amazing as it would be to see a mission with everyone out at the same time, like, rolling out with the D-Walker, you got Didi on your side, the horse.
No,
Didi's riding the horse.
Didi's riding the horse.
And Quiet is dropping in.
Quiet's riding Didi.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
You know? Like, that's some good shit.
For sure.
Someone draw that right now.
That's some good shit.
When I first got D-Dog, I didn't want to pick him. Because I was like, but I have to go from here to there. I need the horse.
Yeah,
like,
you find other ways.
Well, eventually you get vehicles, and yeah. and then you realize, oh, it's so easy to just switch them out mid-mission. Like,
and you know what? Who cares if you get spotted jacking a vehicle? Just kill him. Take it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's my car now.
You
know?
Have you got rolled out in a tank yet?
No, we can't yet.
Okay.
Because we mission 12 is the first opportunity to get the engineer to power up your
Fulton. Sorry, you don't
to
have
max.
Your Fulton's not there yet.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I can't play mission 12 again because we're stuck on Mother Base because
okay.
when we try to leave,
gotcha,
Quiet
gotcha.
Tries to tell us she wants to join in.
I've hijacked a bunch, but I haven't rolled out in 1S, so I don't know what that control's like, but I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
All right, we should roll into the news.
Rolling into
so, Matt,
it.
So, you had a piece of I don't know if I'd call it news, but something that happened this week that you seem to be very keen on talking about.
Just because I've already seen that people in Splatoon are already going, drawing little pictures of Mickey Mouse saying, I made this game.
You made this?
I made this.
But yeah, for those that don't know, they just unveiled like a weird mode in Disney Infinity where it's just the most blatant ripoff of Splatoon.
It's not really a mode.
So it's called Squid Wars, and there's a paintball mode in Infinity.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
and
so
what
it's
this
like a
is,
retooling.
It, what this is
it's adjusted the logic a bit.
So that you have your paint, you're doing paintball and like you cover areas with
instead
your
of,
color.
Instead of paintballing the other people. Yeah,
which,
exactly.
of course, is... Yeah, it's fucking Splatoon. But, like, there was a basis, you know, admittedly. But still, they're very clearly going, like, this is the homage we're making to Splatoon because it's called Squid Wars.
It's
like,
called
they're,
Squid
they're not
Wars. Yeah, exactly.
They're not pretending, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, okay.
They're not pretending that it's not a complete fucking grab on
the Splatoon community is so... like active
for like
and
no good reason like
for
it's dumb
if it was just called like paint battles or something way more generic and then
well it's like are we all gonna forget that Color Wars came out on Xbox Live indie games before Splatoon did
certainly did
like,
I don't even know what that is
but then there,
it's pre-Splatoon
and then there was
Splatoon.
The Minecraft Splatoon game as well that got made there too and like I don't know I guess I just kind of when I saw the name I was like okay they're going for the homage right I don't think they're
well,
going
I,
for
I
the...
think people's interpretations of homage are different like some people don't even understand what that word actually means
mm-hmm. Yeah it's French
but yeah, so...
But if you don't give a shit about Disney Infinity, you're inclined to probably go, ah, what is this, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, so. You know, like, and it's an American, you know, Disney Infinity is made in America or whatever, so it's like, clearly they, yeah, saw Splatoon, see is popular, whatever, and put it in. But, like, some people, I've seen, like, some posts on Tumblr and Twitter or whatever, they're like, malicious, like, it's Splatoon players are like, well, what the fuck, what are they trying to do?
Yeah,
what
no.
What did you, like, what? And that's in every community ever.
But,
like
it's
people,
crazy aggressive.
Like, Dark Souls people shit on Lords of the Fallen so hard, because
yeah.
it's rip-off. It's published by the same publisher as fucking
yeah,
Dark Souls.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter at that point. But I just thought it was hilarious, and the picture I saw of, like, a Splatoon character just going, like... Just showing the little bubble above their head and just this sad little drawing of Mickey Mouse going, I made this.
Yeah.
So hilarious. And it came out so quickly. That's why I thought it was weird. I thought it was like a fan mod of Disney Infinity or something.
Wait for
you know,
the...
That's possible.
Isn't it a fan level that was just shared by the curators?
I don't know.
Because
no.
they...
I didn't get that far deep into it.
I think it's official.
Okay, because they create levels all the time and they just share them like on a weekly basis. This is just another one in the system, right? You know, it's like...
No, man. When we revisit the story next week, there's going to be Disney executives getting paintballed down in the streets.
Like,
drive-bys, you
like,
know?
Getting rolled by a giant roller.
Like, I feel like people are acting towards Disney Infinity the way people would act if they did, like, hey, you can, using Disney's airplanes, recreate 9/11 in Disney Infinity. Like, that's the kind of reaction I'm seeing here, where people are like, Disney should shut down, this is the worst. And it's like, it's fucking nothing. Like,
I
have you seen Mario Maker?
Yeah.
Do you know how many Sonic levels there are in that?
If Disney shut down all meat, like... 80% of something we like would be gone. There'd be no Marvel. There'd
home,
be no Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
You go home and your DVD shelf just disappears.
Just phases out of reality.
It never existed
just
to begin with.
Slowly goes opaque.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was funny.
Speaking of 9/11, Wooly,
Yeah. Oh, God, fine. I was going to talk about.
I'm giving you the Wolf Crone intro.
That's fine.
I'm giving you Wolf That's Crone.
Fine. I was actually just gonna go on because there's a bunch of Nintendo news. But yeah, all right. 9/11. Wow.
Yeah, that was rough.
There was a game conference in Dubai.
Yeah,
Dubai.
This is the footnote to the story. I don't want to open on the footnote.
Yeah, it's true.
The real story is awesome new character introduced for Street Fighter V, Rashid of the Turbulent Wind. He's running around like El Forte. He's got fucking Aegis Reflector style
tons of
wind
multi-hit
moves,
specials,
things that look like they're coming out of Cody's ass.
Super fun.
It's
stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I wish it was just Cody.
Yeah.
I saw Dipod say, "Why can't it be Cody with death written on his chest?" And he's a zombie because you just see the tornado and you're like, "That's just Cody's tornado just put into the engine."
It has a complete different like function though.
Yeah, no, of course.
But gameplay wise, he's got like everyone's like, oh, he's this, he's that, he's that, and it's like, no, he's a lot of things and nothing.
Yeah.
So he's a new character. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool. Basically, we found out that this guy was announced. He was announced in Dubai at a Capcom event thing.
It wasn't a Capcom event.
It was a game expo, right? It was a general game expo.
But it was at their thing.
They had a booth, and Ono came out, and so they announced this new character. And the particular thing with announcing it there was because they worked with Sony, they got in touch with Sony's Middle Eastern distributor, and they worked with them to create a Middle Eastern character.
Yeah.
And
because they don't trust Capcom Japan to just do it.
Right? Fucking.
They don't want to.
Exactly. Yeah. Right?
They don't want another DJ.
No. At this point, it's like, get somebody from the place to help us do this.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we don't have a lot of Middle Eastern people working at Capcom. So,
yeah.
You know, this is what we do. And, they worked together. They got this character out there and whatnot. So this took place on the 11th of September.
Yeah.
And so, in the midst of seeing this great news about this character and everything, there were, like, occasional moments
mm-hmm.
of just weirdness where comments were like, what the fuck? This is disgusting.
Why would you
choose this day to announce this Middle Eastern character? And it's like, think about what you're saying there and then think about it again.
You know the Middle East collectively didn't do anything wrong, right?
And that just because a guy has like a turban on or a head covering of any kind doesn't mean he's a
jihadi. Fictional character planned that real place that you're aware, right?
But like, it's just like my site.
You know, Canada burned down the White House that one time.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's my
we fucking own them.
We kicked their asses.
Now
we get to live on top of them.
I'm allowed to be offended because my ignorance means that I make assumptions about the world around me, and the world revolves around me. So how dare they? Yeah. Right. Furthermore,
also,
this was an event that was this trailer and whatnot only got announced to Dubai.
Yeah,
and the trailers that you saw were leaked footage that got pushed to America, so it was not released to you at all.
Later on, the Capcom Unity
post got put up on the 12th.
Okay.
So
they waited. They actually did wait.
But it's like, but it has nothing to do with anything.
No, but it doesn't matter because when someone on September 11th went into their Twitters, their recommended
thing says
remembering 9/11, then Capcom betrays America right under it.
Yes.
So you're totally technically right, but you can see how people that are like a little less, you know, worldly.
Japanese company goes to the Middle East and announces Middle Eastern character
for that region.
Partially developed by Middle East. Halfway around the world, people get upset.
That's like Capcom announcing a new Korean fighter on the anniversary of, like, the war in Korea.
Capcom! Yeah.
You know?
It's weird, is the word.
And like,
I just.
To top it all off, we're now coming out of it, and there are people calling his design racist Like, as if we couldn't get every angle of this cover.
I didn't see that.
Not a lot.
No,
that's bonkers.
That's insane. I don't think it's racist, but it has to be...
Guess what? It's not racist.
No, it has to be a twinge of racism because, you know what I mean? Because
you mean
it's
a twinge
World War
of
stereotypes.
It's got to be stereotypical.
But that word means, those two words are the exact same word to a lot of people.
That's true.
Right? So it has to have that level of world warriorness that you can say, yes,
Dalton's
he is
from
that country. And if he's
not
wearing a turban or isn't doing dumb spinning tornadoes, he's from nowhere.
I wouldn't even say stereotype. I would say it has to be predictable for it to be a Street Fighter.
Predictable,
right?
Yeah.
You have to
be able to read it easily
and understand what you're looking at. Exactly.
That's when people like give Abel kind of a hard time because he looks like he's from nowhere.
He's not
a Frenchman.
He looks
like he's from a judo man.
Yeah, he's not.
And that's why some people like
his nose.
I think he's fine, but that's why some people are like, Abel's forgettable that way.
And the thing is that it's like, here you got this guy, and he's like, instead of being like a warlord or some kind of just
or
like
an oil type
or a magic user,
a genie,
like exactly,
you know?
He's just a fucking happy-go-lucky tech dude. And he's like, he's got a scouter, and he's looking for somebody.
If they wanted to be really realistic, he drives super high-powered concept vehicles and then abandons them.
Yes.
In his hometown. All over the place.
Exactly.
So who's better, Shahid or Shaheen?
Shaheen.
Rashid, you mean?
Oh, Rashid. Sorry, Rashid.
Rashid or Shaheen.
Shaheen's still real way cooler.
I think like, Shaheen has the edge factor on him.
Yeah.
Whereas Rashid is just fun.
Exactly.
And I like, you go look at his win quotes to get some of his personality in there.
Yet.
His win quotes show you the kind of fun guy he is.
I want to see that.
I also think it matters who was shown first.
Yeah.
Whoever's first out of the gate, and
we're
it's
biased.
Almost the
we're
exact
But it's not the first time that those two companies have been taking notes on each other. Bob and Rufus, man.
Yeah, Bob and
Rufus. They're a little similar.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob is a thousand times cooler than Rufus.
You can see that they're both men.
Yeah. You can detail that from the line of pubic hair coming from Rufus.
Coming from both of them.
Middle East getting a lot of fighting game attention recently. Can't,
makes sense. They've always
can't
had a big
wait
scene.
For real footage of gameplay.
Yeah, you got that, that like 2 seconds of cell phone.
Ooh, no, there's more.
Oh,
but is
about,
there?
But it's recorded on like a Nokia.
Not that's not even where I'm going. I'm going with what's blocking?
Oh,
like
real footage.
Like you've got a series of matches, and like it's so funny because one guy was like, it's like the subtitles are in Arabic, and. The guy, one of the commenters, he's like, you know, I understand that the first videos of these characters are at events where people are playing casually, they're button mashing. I don't expect that, right? I've gotten used to my debut videos being poor gameplay. But the title of this video in Arabic says, Tips on Fighting Chun-Li with
Rashid.
And it's fuck you if you're telling me that's how you get matchup tips by just jumping around and attacking the air when
Chun-Li
the guy's on the
no
floor.
No answer for that. She's got no answer.
When people jump and hit a normal and hit just whiff in the air, that's the best.
Or two guys are standing halfway across the screen going throw, 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 throw. And I'm like, will I see one block? I made a bet with myself and I said, will I see one block in this video? And the answer was no. So yeah, it was fun
times.
That's
great.
It was fun times.
It's still super weird to me seeing this character unveiled because he's so close to like a dumber and thing I prefer, which is just the combination of the announcer, the look, and the name, which is Al-Rashid.
Yeah.
And him actually, like, not being racist or stereotypical, but being, like, even more further back in time. And he shoots tornadoes.
Karnov!
He's also really close in terms of time to Armika being announced, who was really close to Nicali in terms of being announced.
That's true.
And then when you go back from Nicali, it was a bit... Oh, wait, Vega was in the middle, too. Shit.
Dude, a character is being announced next week.
Dude, a character's probably being announced tonight.
Now.
Like,
he's already announced.
There's probably a character getting announced at TGS tonight.
They said it would be Sunday, but yes.
Like...
But they did... But straight up, it was like, no, this is going to be back-to-back weeks of character review.
Crazy. Awesome.
Fucking great. And I'm telling
Alex,
you, no, it's good. Well, okay, yeah. Like
Alex is Combo Fiend told me Alex is last.
Yeah, he told you that.
We're probably gonna see another returning character. That's gonna be fun. But as far as OGs go, not OGs rather, original characters go. Zen and Laura coming soon. So this is the best part about this character reveal is that it fucking hyper confirms Ken Bogard.
Yeah,
because Ken Bogard, he's an announcer that and he's a fighting game community guy in the French scene. Fucking, if you speak French and you watch his commentary, it's hilarious. Mm. I highly recommend it. But he put out like some rumors. Way back in December of last year.
He did like a Pokemon thing?
He played Pokemon, exactly, and he named his Pokemon Rashid, Zen, and Laura. Mm-hmm. And he kept talking about three different country locations, and eventually he mentioned V-Trigger before that even got announced. He mentioned the one-platform version of the game. All that shit. So he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't say Nikali, so everyone was still like waiting and touch and go about it. But now that Rashid is there, it's like okay, fuck. V Trigger and Rashid confirmed.
All of a sudden,
this dude Zen and Laura incoming.
Yeah. Well, Capcom doesn't find out
unless Zen turned into Nikali.
That's possible. And the name switches happen.
It does.
Unless Laura turned into Nikali.
Oh. They really got to give him a second color that actually is a second color, because right now
Nikali,
it's a mildly tanned loincloth.
I feel like. Truth be told, I don't feel like they're going to talk too much about the colors, because I think the colors are going to cost a bunch of fight money.
Or something.
I think they don't want that to be in the public eye until
right now.
The game's about to release.
The first two are always
need the first two, and they're always going to be there for player one and two. But I think that colors 3 through 12 are probably going to be fight money colors, and you're going to need to either buy them with real money or fight money them, and I don't think they want to talk about that yet.
Or buy the color editor.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think they'll be benevolent enough to like
Street Fighter Maker.
God, it's like I love color editors, but I fucking hate them.
Yeah. Because you have to strike that right balance.
It's such a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. It's tough. It's just because
when you're forced to see other people's shit, you gotta get the magenta fucking tan fighter.
Black and red everything.
I wanna just really touch upon this really quickly, that going back to Rashid, I know it's stupid and they shouldn't have to do these types of things and think about them, but if Capcom had unveiled some sort of plan to me in confidence saying, we're gonna announce this character this day for this country around this time, like I am of the decision, no, don't wait a few days before or after September 11th. You're gonna get something. You're gonna get some type of backlash, and you don't need it. I know it's stupid, but this is the type of world we live in. Just wait a few days.
I say don't kowtow to stupidity. I think it's so dumb and, like, bigoted to make those assumptions just because you see a guy from the Middle East. That it's like, don't even fucking concede to that shit.
But also, Capcom is a company that poorly times announcements or maybe cancellations of things. And people, since they strongly feel about Capcom one way or another, it's a special type of company where I'm like, you, specifically you, don't need anything negative ever about any of your products, because people blow it out of proportion. You specifically, you
but
might
they couldn't,
want to stay
you know,
away from
like
this.
It was like what, like delay the event that's happening in Dubai,
which
like,
they couldn't do.
You know what I mean? It's
not
their
event.
Exactly. They showed up to it, and it
happened to be on
that day.
I know, but in a perfect world, if you wouldn't have to do this at all, and people would be. I mean, it's the same type of people that when Japan got the earthquake, there's some people that are like, good.
Yeah.
Because they Pearl Harbor.
That was for Pearl Harbor.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly.
God, that was the worst. Dude.
That was the worst.
It's every time you see that like mural of Facebook posts, you know.
Yeah, it's
but
great.
But whatever. Because ultimately,
just highlight all, right click, die.
Look. Two countries around the world had an event. The end.
Yeah.
Moving on. So I wanted to roll back a bit, actually, because there's a bunch of Nintendo stuff going on.
Really?
For one thing, we now have confirmation. The fifth president of Nintendo is Tatsumi Kimishima.
Mm-hmm. So I read this and I look up the guy and I'm like, okay, this means nothing to me.
He was in charge of NOA for a while. And other business type things.
He looks like a businessman.
He came from Sanwa Bank. Where he was there for
a
years.
A banker, you can trust him.
Yeah, he's so, you know, I mean, we'll see. Maybe he'll feel the pressure to create a caricature of himself, and he'll start, like, funding it up. But who knows?
Who knows? I mean,
caricatures of,
I was hoping for craziness. I was hoping for Kamiya.
Well, because
I was hoping for just dumb outside chances. Like, I was hoping for a Megaton, you know?
The pressure is on him, of course.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know what? Like, he's got the word Mishima in his last name.
That's a step
so
already.
So I'm already looking.
Already.
I don't know. It'll be a few years before we even see the effects of his existence. Yeah, exactly.
I think personality wise, like that, it's irrelevant. Who cares? Yeah. It's just going to come down to how he runs the business.
How about we hire the president, whoever wants to make the most punch out and sin and punishment? Can we just hire that man?
That man is the right guy.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's funny because a lot of people were attributing the other thing that was announced recently to Nintendo incorrectly. So big deal, Pokemon Go was announced for smartphones.
Yeah,
and this is going to be.
They even held a little press conference specifically for it.
Just to let you know,
it's a fucking big deal, which it looks like.
So a lot of people are like, "Oh, is this the Nintendo smartphone push? Is this what we're seeing?"
This was kinda.
Pokemon Go is being put out by the Pokemon Company. Mm. They're the ones that are in charge of that.
Well, and Nintendo.
Nintendo gives the blessing, of course, but the Pokemon Company are the ones that have their name attached to this announcement, as well as...
It's really both of them. It's Niantic Pokemon Company and Nintendo, and they were very clear, if you watched the whole press event, that it was also a Nintendo thing. Going so far as to show Niantic x Nintendo x the Pokemon Company.
But when I see articles that are saying, like, Nintendo's first smartphone
DNA thing.
No, because the Pokemon Company put out a Pokemon app
prior
to this.
Yeah.
So that's just not truthful.
This is not the DNA thing.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
There's a lot of mixed information going on as far as that goes.
What
this is...
It was Iwata's idea, though, so...
I can believe that. Yeah. This is a Pokemon ARG that is going to more or less allow you to capture Pokemon in real life by going to places on your map. And
this is by the guys who did Google Ingress, which has been hugely popular for Google.
Yeah, so they probably know what they're doing.
They probably have the best idea in the world.
What I'm curious to know is what the feedback on the actual app is going to look like visually. Like, are they going to attempt to, like...
use a pass-through camera footage?
Yeah.
I doubt it, because if you look at the end of the trailer, you can see what looks to be a mock-up of in-app footage, and it's like they've modeled a world.
The backgrounds behind the characters, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
right, I forgot about that part.
So,
but
I doubt it.
Cool idea, something that many people have had for years, and it's still not the open-world next-gen Pokemon game that a lot of us are kind of hoping, but...
That we'll never get.
I think it's really cool, and I'll definitely be installing it on my phone and giving it a go. Wow, they're good. They knew I'd say that.
But are you going to buy the Pokemon Go Plus wristband?
Probably.
That vibrates to let you know when other players or Pokemon are available.
I'm probably going to buy one for me and my girlfriend.
But here's
the
thing.
We're going to try it.
Here's the thing. I would buy one, but I don't want to wear it.
Put it on your dick.
But
you'll feel it, but nobody will see it.
Okay, because I was going to say...
They just see that your pants are vibrating greatly.
Where do I feel it?
That's where I put my phone.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if I just bought it and put it on my pocket, then I'm not going to really feel that.
No, exactly.
Put on your asshole.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Pokemon Go Plus.
Pokemon Go Plus, woo!
Real talk, that trailer is interesting. Because it's hard to tell if it's a marketing thing or if it's actually a design thing.
There's one child,
but...
That's one too many.
The only Pokemon used are from the first 151.
Yeah.
They only go up to Mewtwo. I'm assuming Mew is in there.
Fucking Gen 1ers, let's go.
and the clear target audience in that trailer is people who are in their late teens, young adults.
Is
like
us.
Yeah, that's us.
So
in my late teens,
let's see. I would
catch all 151 Pokemon.
I can do that. I've done it 7 times.
Right?
Perfect.
They know.
Ship that and let us have our fun, and then start rolling out the rest over time
rolling out the garbage.
Because
Gen 2's good. Gen 3 is getting a bit less fun. And then it just goes downhill pretty
fast.
But the
hardcore will still be there, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely roll it out. Let us have our shitty fucking moments. Gen 1ers.
No, they're the best moments.
W-U-N-N-E-R-S.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
Very cool, though.
Very smart. Very cool, smart of them, and long time coming. We'll see where that goes.
I was thinking about it, and very astute of them to design and decide to make a mobile game that is a game that could not be made on their handhelds.
Right, yeah.
There's nothing overlapping.
This game could not work on the 3DS.
Yeah.
It needs constant GPS,
and that's
very smart.
And that's exactly, and that's the type of thing that Iwata would absolutely sign off on.
That's the kind of thing I want to see from their smartphone games in the future, because, like, that will demonstrate that, like, yeah, you can still have a handheld.
Like, recently, it's like, you can say that, like, they can get port or whatever, the Wii U or whatever, but, like, you know, DS games, they were specifically, most of them, by Nintendo at least, are designed specifically to make some use of the DS. And, you know, there's varying ones that do it successfully, that do not.
Definitely.
But at least they always, like, at least that mentality is carrying over. Like, you can't do Nintendo Land.
Well, it's reassuring to see that mentality prevail. Because for the Wii U, like, you have stuff like Tropical Freeze, where it's like you literally didn't even try to use the gamepad.
And then the game doesn't even look that much better than the last one.
The fact that it's free to play is, like, also showing you, like, they want maximum market penetration on this.
If you're gonna make a mobile game, you may as well go all the way with it, right?
But your microtransaction is replaced with a piece of hardware.
Well, there's that, but
so it's not the same thing.
There's that, but I wouldn't be surprised to see you have a limit of, like, Pokeballs per day, and you can buy more Pokeballs or Master Balls or what have you.
It wouldn't surprise me. That would be the currency to work with.
There's no way it's only going to be a hardware purchase, because that hardware is not going to be available in all regions of the world.
Hmm.
And they're going to, like, in countries like, I don't know, like Spain, it might not be available initially, but they'll still need to monetize it.
But wouldn't a push notification just fucking invalidate the entire, like, use for the hardware?
Yes.
Yes and no.
But don't say that too loud, though.
All right.
Don't let anyone hear you.
All right.
No one heard yet.
There was that weird-ass quiet bug in Metal Gear Solid 5 that's been fixed, so...
It has been fixed.
Patch went out, like, last night.
Use quiet in mission 29 or 42, but that's no longer an issue.
There was another major bug that was fixed, too, in the tutorials that, like, froze you up.
There's also tons of bugs with her where if you pause any cutscene she's in, her tits are just going to space.
Perfect.
Oh, they still get affected by gravity despite everything else.
No, they get affected by some other planet's gravity, and it just looks terrible.
Oh no!
Like it's you know, two or three frames of animation, but I've seen a lot of people just screen capping. They're like they're off model.
Yeah, okay.
It's crazy. Okay. Yeah.
Nothing is gonna dethrone Chun-Li for a while though.
No.
Chun-Li player 2. Beta build. Never forget.
Better not fix that.
Nope. Beta build.
That's a
feature.
Hey, Shoddy, you got some beta builds going on over there.
Man, if they made that a DLC item, the money they'd make.
Big old chest beefers, man. Fuck, I got no segue for this. Battle Chasers Night War looks amazing.
Funded, like, hitting funded all the stretch instantly. Goals.
I got nothing. Holy shit. You know what
the best part of this is, like, PS4 and Xbox One versions... How about you do what everyone should do, or if you can, feasibly, take that out of the stretch goals, because you can already tell you're going to blast power them, and just put that as the standard default.
I didn't even look at the platform.
No, it doesn't matter, but, you know, to a lot of people it does, like, because it's like, I don't want to play this on I can't play it on my PC or whatever.
This fucking Kickstarter video, this is the one where...
I didn't even watch the video.
Okay.
I just clicked the page that said, come fund Joe fucking Matt for Zerk. So, and I said, yeah, no problem. Well, Kentaro Miura's Battle Chasers will live on. Like,
that dude...
I literally didn't watch the video.
Joe Mad needs to be the guy that's fading away in the video, and your money brings him
back.
He'll
be super successful, because he can always draw
good. Tell you what, just the fact that he was talking in this video, and he had a bit of a smile on his face, and sounded like he had
He's
stuff.
Like, we're going to crush this.
He had a little bit of life in him, and it was like, yeah... Joe Mad's happy because god damn it, he can't get a break.
He went through the ringer. He's been through the ringer.
He lives in the ringer.
He can't get out. Kentaro Miura. Like,
the Joe Mad works on things and gets them done in a timely fashion.
Really? Is it at the same pace?
Full disclosure. He's been working since he's been 18, though.
Full disclosure, I never used to read Battle Chasers.
Because it was hard. I never saw it in a store ever.
I just appreciated the PSM covers.
The PSM covers.
How
oh, God.
You not?
When I was
and
a babby.
The posters?
And yeah. When I was a babby, read all my Nintendo powers, and I didn't have a PlayStation system back then. So when I saw PSM covers of Sub-Zero and RE2 and shit, I was like, I wanted them based solely on his covers. I didn't care that the magazine, and I didn't see those magazines often, but I was always like, ah, just whatever.
When you could draw good, you get good money.
And when you actually watch the video, and I'm like, this looks cool, this looks awesome, yeah, I'll fund this, but then they're like, then interspersed throughout the game will be these full
animated
video cutscenes, which looks sick.
Some wild arm shit,
and I was just like, oh
RPG.
My God. And the game just looks amazingly
painted
gorgeous.
Textures.
Yeah,
there's nothing else to
it
say.
Helps so
now,
much.
I didn't even read the details, which I kind of feel remiss now that we're talking
probably
about
read
it. But I vaguely recall seeing some forum posts talking about how a lot of it's going to be procedural.
Yes,
and I was like,
but semi-procedural. So the dungeons are. They said the dungeons are going to be the traps are going to be generated.
Okay.
So it doesn't sound like the full layout is random.
No,
but
I didn't
it sounds
get that
like
either.
The content of the room is.
Because I just never want to hear procedural in a game that's like, that's it.
That looks like that. Oh, really?
No, that's it.
Like, no, I think it's one of those
there's places for
Rogue
procedural.
Legacy.
No, there's places for procedural. Like I loved Rogue Legacy.
Like, I get what
but
you
like
mean.
A well designed thing will
and,
always
and,
be
there,
but it just costs more money to make.
I get what you mean.
Darkest
but
Dungeon.
I think it's just one of those things where if someone really thinks about it and utilizes it well, it can really help out.
Yeah.
I know that one of
no,
the first
I,
stress
I,
goals...
I'm being too harsh. Procedural is great, but I just like I want a well designed RPG more than anything.
Agreed.
I would rather have that, but I mean. I think one of the first stretch rules they blasted past is some type of modifier that you can go back to a dungeon that you've already beaten. It's a modifier that changes it to be like an extreme difficulty.
Oh, cool.
For just that dungeon in whatever main difficulty you have it, it's like you go back to this dungeon and the stretch goal would be like every dungeon you can go back and you do this remixed, harder version of that dungeon so that there's more like... So I don't... That's why I think Wooly is accurate with thing that the,
okay,
that the dungeons are not actually all
it's
procedural.
It's aspects of them.
It's aspects of them. Okay. Enemy placement.
Yeah. They said like the traps and things like that. Yeah, you know what I mean. So well, who knows?
No, exactly.
I'm really glad that when they because we they the air, airship. Airship Syndicate, that's
Airship
the name of the
Syndicate.
Developer. We talked about on the podcast like a few months ago that they're saying that they will return with a Battle Chaser product at some point.
Yes.
And we'll likely
here we
hit
are.
Crowdfunding and whatever. And I remember back then, I remember hearing some people saying, man, if it's a Battle Chaser thing, I really hope they don't retool the character Red Monica to be... like more prudish or have more clothes on because she was very skimpily dressed and they're like that's when
as
I,
was the style at the time
that's when they go that's when I have a problem when they take a character that was dressed a certain way back then in the early aughts or whatever
mm-hmm.
and then they like if they come back and they're dressed completely in a different way like I have a problem with that because that is like appealing to one group over another. And her art there, and at least the artist thing, it's the same as she ever was.
And
then there's other cool characters like, what's her name? Gally, the little girl, who's the little fire girl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Gauntlet, she's awesome. And that's there for that character. That's there for the person that likes that type of character. And Garrison is there for the guy that likes your white meat. Shonen hero,
yeah.
And what's the other guy? The big loser.
The whatever, the golem, yeah.
The golem guy, and then they have the wizard, and then you have a sexy girl character. It's fine
because that's that era.
That's
comic
that era.
Books,
and
like,
well,
yeah.
more than anything, I would just say just keep it faithful. Just don't change anything.
Yeah. Just don't change anything. Yeah.
Like with Melina, they brought Melina back and stripped more clothes off.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, that's right.
They just went for that, but it's ultimately just not keep it what it was, and that's what people know because people read Battle Chasers and would ask about more. And like the thing that's interesting to me is seeing the art style of the game, which in my opinion is better than the original art style of Battle Chasers,
right.
Because
well,
it's
yeah,
Joe Mad style minus the sheen.
Right,
and
okay.
To me, the sheen reminds me of
that era, of
the Liefeldian era, the Magog era, Fathom,
where everything looks wrong.
Well, that's because I always attribute to the fact that that's when computer coloring really came into
CG,
effect,
CG
and people
was big.
Over. people did not know what it was great at. Because
fucking Spawn number one came out, and everyone's dicks got super hard.
Wait, what? I still remember the first time.
The coloring in Spawn looks like nothing else.
Yeah, I remember the first time I walked into Captain Quebec in 93, and I walked in, I'm a little baby Matt, and then my parents were like, eh, just let him buy some stupid comic books so he should shut the fuck up. And they bring me in there, and I'm like, oh, I like Wolverine, I like Spider-Man, and they're like, okay, kid, that's lame. You want Image Comics, and show me a picture of Youngblood. I was like, whoa!
Exactly.
Like,
it was like the most extreme
thing ever.
No.
It's so hardcore compared to that.
When all you had was flat coloring and cross-hatching, like, they introduced this big, new, shiny world of Street Fighter 3. You know?
Yeah.
Everyone goes, oh! And Image built a fucking foundation on that.
Yeah.
But now, we've gotten past that edgy era, and shiny
Thank
era.
God.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, alright, let's just have some good art.
Also, there, you know? Everyone drew like Joe Mad for a while. That slightly anime aesthetic.
Let's be real.
Jim Lee, right? Yeah.
Todd McFarlane. Fucking Liefeld gets his name up in there.
That's what, got there because he was friends with the other
guys. And
then
Joe Mad. That is the Mount Rushmore of
Joe Mad's,
you know,
actually,
I mean,
slightly younger. He came in like after Image had been founded by those guys, and he came in and he was 18, right? And this is one of those greatest success stories. He was so talented at 18 and just sent his portfolio to Marvel and just forgot about it, and then they're like, yeah. And I remember he drew the first miniseries for Deadpool, when Deadpool had just a little, and Deadpool was not nearly the important character he was now.
Yeah.
Or the fan favorite. He had a little miniseries, whatever. And then after that, it's like he did a few more things. He drew Uncanny X-Men for a little while, and then splintered off and made Battle Chasers, and then did all of his PSM covers and shit. And everyone drew like him because he was like the new Todd McFarlane, new whatever. But he is like that edgy young kid that came in and started, fuck you, and started drawing the way that he wanted.
Well, the difference between him and the other three that I mentioned there is that he had a distinct anime influence.
Definitely.
Whereas
the other
three didn't, you know?
Yeah, because they came up in like the late 80s, Todd McFarlane.
How long before we can start getting like parodies of 90s comic coloring style?
I
think
we're
there, but like,
would people get it, you know, in the same Blood Dragon kind of way?
It's fringe, like, it's so fringe.
It needs like another 10 years, at least, if not, because the whole Blood Dragon thing is like movies that were in the early to late 80s, right? That Blood Dragon parody, or, you know, Hobo with a Shotgun, or Turbo Kid, stuff like that. So it's like, to lampoon Youngblood... Which is what I want. I want a Youngblood parody video game.
I always say Magog.
Edgelords. Call it Edgelords.
I say Magog so much because I'm like, that's the only one I can think of, and it's such a good one.
I want Wetworks, but like a parody.
But like,
Wetworks.
But that's what it is. Yeah. That's what I mean. You know, one of your big team members has to have a shiny arm with cable lines on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Someone has to have a mask that looks vaguely like Wolverine's, but not really.
Yeah, someone's got to have an all red thing with hair sticking out
the
top.
Someone has to have a mask.
All titties and asses are shiny, greased up.
Chainmail bikinis coming back.
And tiny little Rob Liefeld waist that make no sense. No one has feet.
Yeah.
Because you can't draw the feet because feet are hard.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Bert Holgrath rolling in his grave.
Sorry?
Did he work on Bravely Default?
He did not.
Oh, well.
I think that is the Japan no feet aesthetic.
Fire Emblem Awakening too. Fuck.
Yeah, maybe.
Just
that's
put little points. That's good enough.
No one's anatomy has been analyzed more
than Liefeld.
But
Japan can draw feet, but Rob Liefeld could not, so he'd always hide it in little ways.
Liefeld could not draw, so...
Well, he couldn't draw generally or whatever. It was just the style at the time.
Indeed. Did the business.
Indeed.
People didn't have pouches because of the war. The only pouches you could get were the big yellow ones.
This like fucking Captain America's big shitty inflated breasts.
That's just
swinging from Liefeld's belt.
The worst. Like, how did you?
Goddess.
The Battle Chasers Kickstarter. We don't even need to tell you to fund it because it's super funded.
Done.
And it looks awesome.
You know what else looks awesome? The fucking intro for Legacy of the Void dropped, and I'm like, man.
You said Protoss.
If you
kids,
like Protoss,
right?
If you like Protoss, dude, it's all there. Because I'm looking
after we had our little fucking talk last week about StarCraft.
Yeah, and this drops us
looking
like,
at
shit,
it. Fingers getting twitchy now. Yeah, exactly.
I give, man. I give. And it's like, I'm watching the fucking Templars battling, and I'm like, one of them goes down, and I'm like, oh, they're gonna do it. They're not gonna do it. And then he grabs him, and they're like, power overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so cool. That's what I said, and I still maintain it. It's like, I don't particularly need a new StarCraft game, but I need Blizzard to update the StarCraft soundboard every couple of years, and I'm good. Because that's like the main thing you remember, because you hear it so often, whenever you play whatever race it was. So, like, it's like, I'm waiting for, like, you know, like,
that was why you never played Zerg, because their soundboard wasn't as
funny. It's not the most interesting one. But, like, I'm just waiting for all of it to be collected in a giant StarCraft, like, all three
StarCraft
single player campaigns. No, I want all...
That's what I'm saying.
We'll call it StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
Released for the Wii U.
Perfect. Oh, God, it would actually...
With a versus mode.
I remember people talking about that when the Wii U was coming out.
Off-screen versus mode.
No, shut up. Split screen. Get the table out. Go into the table.
Yeah.
StarCraft 64.
Get blinders.
Me and my friend played so much.
The
StarCraft
definitive
64.
Version.
The definitive version.
Get your cardboard out.
Yeah.
That's the only way to play.
No, get under. No, Jimmy, you get under the table. I sit on top of it.
I want to fund a tournament of weird ported games. I want to see StarCraft 2 high level.
We could totally fish StarCraft 64.
We talked about things like this in the past.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, that's the best.
So we've got that. We've got Gary Carr, the creative director at Lionhead, leaves to form his own indie studio. Good luck.
Good luck. Don't know much about him.
Tired of working on nothing, so he decided to make a thing.
I'm really tired of working on nothing with Alan.
Especially the latest one, Nothing Legends.
Nothing Legends, exactly.
We've got the... Oh, yeah, so speaking of Kickstarter, actually, this one's a pretty big one. In terms of just precedent, not in relevance, the... a court has ordered a Kickstarter that did not give its backers anything
mm-hmm.
to pay fines and to refund and give damage payments.
What state was this, dude?
So, it happened in Seattle, and it was Atlas Management. It was a Kickstarter that ran in 2012
for a card game,
Asylum Playing Cards. Apparently they went for a funding goal of
$50K.
Yeah.
No, like less than that.
No, it was less, but they made $54K in the end. And 3 years passed and fucking nothing. And of course, you know, as we know, like Kickstarter, there's no guarantees and whatnot. Kickstarter does have a policy,
exactly.
But ultimately someone could take the money and run.
Well, when you back a Kickstarter, you are assuming risk. You're not buying a product, you're assuming risk.
You're buying a potential product. And even then,
you're really just funding it.
So let's say you're a scumbag and you want to scam people out of their money, right? Like, that's fine. Just make sure to think of your escape plan super well. Because that's why, like, people don't, like...
If you're not using that money for your escape
plan... then you're already fucked up.
Yeah.
So you have to ask for the right amount of money and everything. So this is, I think a quote from this article is something like, we will not, like,
the judge is
us here in Seattle or whatever, or Washington State... will, like, not let people get scammed like
Washington will not tolerate crowdfunding theft. I forgot.
And all other crowdfunding that has ended in theft.
But it was more or less just like, if you put out something you said you're going to give people and you didn't give it to them, we're treating you like a business that offered a product that you did not deliver on.
I think it's especially like kind of scummy when it's clearly a product that shouldn't run into many problems to get off the ground. Like, I can understand a million things happening wrong with game development. Because it's a much more complex process than, you know, like making a card game. Yeah. So it's like, it's even more transparent, you know? So.
Well, I think if you're able to demonstrate in the court of law, like, hey, look, we actually did work on this game for ages.
And it just couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think if you could at least demonstrate that, then you'd be fine, because the intent was there.
I'd like some ridiculous excuse, like, well, the place, the officer renting out, turns out it was Haunted Judge, and we tried for several weeks to exorcise the demons from the... I want some ridiculous excuse. Yeah.
The sun told them not to.
The sun told them not to.
Ultimately, every backer is getting $668 in restitution, plus a plus $1,000 per backer.
No, so this guy actually just took the money. They didn't even make a product, did they?
I
don't think so.
Well, apparently the latest or the update on the story was some people started receiving their cards
like this month.
Some people
last month.
Just started receiving their cards after this fucking whole thing went down. So it's a weird ass case.
I was gonna say,
and there were updates, but ultimately, regardless of the updates and the pushing that was happening, nothing got done.
The verdict has already been
mandated. And again, what's your statute of limitations there? It's been 3 years.
No, just I was going to say, like, you know, if you go into a Kickstarter, let's say you're actually being fraudulent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're actually intending to not develop something, then I think you should absolutely get in trouble and have to pay reparations and stuff. But if you go into a Kickstarter and you're working on a product and stuff like that, like, the idea of having to pay reparations in addition to just the money back, that's bananas. Like, if you had a reason that it wasn't able to happen?
But ultimately, that's what happens in any other business court case where someone gets wronged.
For sure.
And if it's class action, then there's always damages in addition to...
Yeah, just I like maybe, $1,600 seems insane.
I bet you maybe the judge's son put money into Yom's Cast Adventures, and now he's, like, biased.
Maybe.
And he put this harsh penalty
heard about it, yeah. But no, that's it. That's heavy, heavy fucking, you know.
It seems heavy in a case where you can demonstrate that, like, develop. I didn't read this case,
it would seem that, like, the judge looked at the total amount and just divided it.
Yeah.
According to the number of people that backed it, and you know, they didn't go according to what you backed by.
That's weird.
They just went according to what everyone put in, and that's that.
There's also a bit of, like, you can take 3 years to make any product, as long as there's, like, evidence that you're working on it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kaiju Comet, for example, is still being made, but they just had, like, a playable build show that Godzilla Festival I wasn't able to go to for the third year in a row, and I just got, like, an update from them last week saying, here's our new time frame for the game, and I played it on Steam not too long ago again, and it was updated with new shit. So it's like, a card game, again, taking 3 years, all right, I guess something could have happened, but if there's no evidence that's being worked on, and no one's got any backer updates, then, like, it's safe.
No, for sure.
Did you draw the art? Yes. Did you take it to the printers? Yes.
Where is it? All right.
Yeah.
You're being sued.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
But
it's definitely different for a card game.
Here's our precedent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's from a really old Kickstarter, but we have a case where it's like, this can happen, so people have to kind of be on their ass a little bit and not treat things as a free pass, you know, and whatnot. Not that everyone is just taking the money and running with it. Some things are just going to shit. Some projects just, like, fall apart for different reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
But accountability is now established.
Like, if you fail your Kickstarter, let's say, like, you make enough money and you just fail making the product, if you can show me equally that you have evidence of your failure and that something went wrong and that data got corrupted or whatever, just didn't work out.
If you can show me the receipts
of your failure, then, like, that's where I think it's like, that's up to you.
That's a
putting
bit
your money into a thing. And I wouldn't demand my money back. You can show me enough evidence that if you can do the long division and show me you failed and there are good reasons for your failure,
you tried
then
and you failed, exactly.
Yeah.
Though you probably are still going to get, like, sued.
Yeah.
Someone's
going
to sue
you.
Someone's going to be upset.
I won't sue you, but I won't stop that guy from suing you. I won't tell him to back down.
But anyway. You know, to some degree, though, it's like, what are the obligations of the end user, right? It's like, you put your money in, hope for the best. But, like, also expect, you know, things like backer rewards or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, and then, like, a final product to kind of come through.
It's people just literally don't get it. People who haven't worked on video games, people who don't know how hard that shit is to do, just literally don't get it. and they look at something and they say, why is it taking so long? Why is it
not? Why does it not look the way I wanted it to?
Because there are so many more reasons than you could ever imagine that something would go wrong.
Here's what I'm wondering, though, is, like, let's say things are going to shit, yeah, right? When are you allowed to quit? / run away.
Yeah,
because my real one thing is, are you? I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like
I think
I don't think you're allowed to quit. I think things can go wrong.
I think you're allowed.
And you can explain that things went wrong, but you should try to keep it going.
You're allowed to quit if you can get the money back.
You can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if you can see it coming,
yes,
and you say, okay, we're going to start giving people money back in waves because it's going to come out of my pocket or something like that, that would be the most earnest way to stop.
It's literally quitting while you're ahead.
Because, then I can close this on that, and that's more comfortable for me.
Yeah, okay.
But the idea that it's like, I showed you the receipts that it all went to shit, sorry, Your Honor, and it's like, all right, you're free to go.
Well, you can't just develop it for 20 minutes and say, I can't do it, and then coast for 10 months on the money. But, like, if you get, you know, like, 2 years in and your programmer dies... And he was the only one who knew how to run the Bleece engine. Right. Then what? Like,
there's
nothing you can do. You know what I mean?
Well, you shouldn't have put your money in 3D Realms. I'm sorry. You know?
No, like, sure, but it's like there's instances where there's actually reason for it. You know?
Certainly.
I agree with Matt though. Like, unless you give, like, as long as you can prove that there was. That it happened?
Because guess what? I fail all the time, and I had things fail. So I think about it from that perspective.
Yeah.
As long as you can convince me that you failed super hard and nobly, then that's fine. But if you can't prove that, if you're like, the money's all gone, I'm like, where'd it go? It's gone, though.
But did you fail and quit? Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it basically, Your Honor, I'm still trying, right? There's a difference between that and shrug.
Yeah.
You know?
No, for sure.
Well, because
there's shitty ones. Like I backed Clang, right? And what came of that? There was a bunch of tools delivered that they had been working on that didn't get finished.
Yeah.
And, like, a bunch of, like, design shit. And it was like, they clearly put the money in, but they were, like, way in over their own heads. So it's like, shit, well, I guess that taught me a lesson. Not to invest in people who don't have a track record for video games at all. Because he doesn't.
For me...
Even though he got fucking, like, Gabe Newell in the video.
That was a big-ass video, man, yeah. The thing with for me, that I always say is, like, yeah, absolutely the track record, but I want... Just click play, gameplay. Show me gameplay.
Yeah, of course. That's the ideal. That's the ideal, for sure. If you can see that there's, like...
If
half
you don't
a game
have a track
already
record.
Sitting there, or 30% of a game already sitting there, it's good enough.
You have the pieces, you just need the time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I'm sad that, I'm not sure what you talked about, I'm sad that that Judgment of Rage Kickstarter, that 2D beat-em-up, like, seemed like it had potential, and there's a little bit of gameplay in there, but there's just, like, they didn't sell the concept enough. And
I messaged...
They just made some really dumb decisions.
I messaged them.
Yeah, there were some dumb...
I
remember you telling me about this.
Multiple times, and I spoke with them back and forth, and they were...
You got replies.
Yeah.
We had a talk.
Huh.
They were very eager to hear what I had to say, and they were very interested. And they simply refused to change.
Did they explain why they only wanted to release on last gen?
Well, okay, they did add Xbox One and PS4 after a little bit. They did add those two.
But the tier was just too high.
The problem was they were still at $120.
For that tier,
I believe it was $120. It was $30 for a PC copy, and something like $120 for a console.
So if you want a console,
wait. So
copy,
it wasn't a stretch goal for
everybody. No, it wasn't.
It was if you want that version, you have to pay that much more. That's backwards.
It is.
Or
shit.
Or you chip in for $5, then buy the PS4 or Xbox copy. You know what I mean? You could have just waited for that. If that happens, and buy it for $10.
It was completely upside down and backwards.
Your ports are always stretch goals so that anyone can choose what they have, not like a higher, more expensive version.
I assume that's how they were offsetting
the cost of getting kits and getting another programmer to do the porting and stuff like that. I assume.
So...
Was it like our groundwork is already done on last gen and this is just...
It doesn't...
You know what I mean?
I didn't get that much info from them, but like they were very happy... They seemed very happy to hear my input.
This is Japanese developer,
I was saying,
by the way,
I really don't think you're going to succeed like this. I really think you need to change stuff. I sent them, like, a bunch of messages. And every time they were like, cool, this is good input. Thanks very much. And they added the... I don't think it was because of me. I think it was because of everyone. They added because the PS4 everyone. And the Xbox One. But they never were able to adjust their pricing on anything, which may be something you're not able to do when a Kickstarter is already gone. But, like... Like, anyone with cursory knowledge of Kickstarter could have looked at that Kickstarter and identified those two problems instantly. And I get it. Like, in Japan, like, PS3 is still going. It's not gone anywhere. And I guess they have this image that 360 is the one in the West or something. But, it's like these guys just didn't get the memo that sales for last-gen consoles have dropped...
That Kickstarter seems like it was run by a bunch of creative people and artists, and there wasn't a single, like, business guy with some type of sense of...
But they clearly...
No, well, you know what I mean.
Exactly. Kind of knowing how these things go sometimes, I think the most likely story, and the one that I put together in my head, is that this build and this framework was already done last gen. And they just never got around to a Kickstarter campaign until now.
I don't really think but so. It's like, there's not enough footage to discern
it. $120 for a PS3 or 360 copy.
I'm pretty sure
it was $120.
So, like, which is baffling because that's the part where I'm like, okay, so it's like they weren't even planning at all for current gen.
Well, it
wasn't even in the plans.
Yeah. No, so that's why.
And when people felt angry at it, they put out a comment where they were alluding to the fact that, hey, maybe we'll get Xbox One, and everyone's like. And
Do
you not even understand?
So that's why I feel like it's so weird and ignorant that it's like it had to be something.
Oh, it hasn't filmed yet. There's 57 hours left.
Okay,
what's it at? So like $7,700
of $65,000. They weren't even looking for a lot. They were looking for like fucking $65,000. It's upsetting because the game looks so good.
7,700?
Yeah, for those that don't know, that we're talking about...
Sorry, did you say 7,700?
7,700 of $65,000.
So $7,000 made.
$7,700.
So the reason why we're talking about this...
$15, a digital copy of the game.
Repeat the name of the game.
Judgment of Rage.
$15 or more, a digital copy of the game PC version. Let me jump down, add the soundtrack, add that. Pledge $120 or more, you get a bunch of shit. Digital copies of the game, copies with an S, one PC, and a choice from 360 or PS3.
Yeah.
And you get, like, a digital art book and the soundtrack digitally, which literally costs zero to ship because they're digital.
The reason we're talking about this so much is because the actual core game looked really cool. It's like a hand-animated, hand-drawn 2D beat-em-up in a Final Fight or Streets of Rage style with, like, these very anime stereotypical but, like, still awesome type of character archetypes. It's made by... people that worked on Kill la Kill and all this crazy shit.
Yeah, they're not going away. They'll get it right the second time around. But
I hope this is a learning experience. I hope so, because I would want to fund this.
There was other frustrating stuff where like they only put out 3 Kickstarter updates through the whole campaign,
the last one was August
26th. Yeah. We're September 14th now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just bad. And the only 3 updates was we made it on Xbox One, PS4, PlayStation Vita the next day, and it's like there was the back and forth was non-existent.
Japanese indie still doesn't fully understand Kickstarter.
That's why even Inafune or
Igarashi
have like a whole American branch
you
take care of this because don't know how to approach this in the correct ways, and
you can see in the comments section they're saying like we have learned a lot of stuff through this campaign on Kickstarter. If we're gonna have a second one, it'll be way better.
Okay, good.
They're probably gonna come back for a second round, but like
nose all bloody.
Botch this one.
Eyebrows cut.
Exactly.
But you get back
in
there.
It's all about how many times you get back up, right? Because there's been a
million beat-em-ups on Kickstarter, but not the ones that really scratch that itch of what I like about beat-em-ups.
There hasn't been a beat-em-up that looked this good since, I don't know.
Since ever.
River City Ransom Underground.
Oh, that one, that actually looked quite good.
Yeah, maybe,
But like River City Ransom is still not exact. That's its own thing to me. It's still the Streets of Rage.
It looks good, but it's not
Final
the itch.
Fight
it's
type
not, it's
thing.
Not the itch. It's not the itch.
I want the Capcom Sega type thing.
Sure, VanillaWare games are great, kind of. The first time you play all the levels.
Yeah, sure. And even then, that's not exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's not exactly deep, the kind of beat-em-up.
That cuts deep.
But you know what I mean.
It cuts deep because you're right.
Anyway. Sucks. VanillaWare's great at making repetitive games.
We've got Experience Inc. confirming two new Japan-developed Xbox One exclusive RPGs.
Yeah.
Those will go well.
So one of them's a port of a game that's already on Vita.
It had to be. I knew, like, I'm like, there's no way
yeah.
they're just sitting and spending this money.
So, well, Experience Inc. made a bunch of 360 games last gen. They were there with, like, Mages and Broccoli, where they were the handful of companies who were like, no, we really like the Xbox. We really like what's going on here.
I thought they just put out that Vita stuff.
Who, sorry?
Experience Inc.
Yeah, they put out Demon Gaze on the Vita, Operation Tokyo, and Operation Babel.
They've been doing stuff like
but
this
yeah, they did 360 stuff. They gotcha. Did a bunch of 360 titles. So I guess this is them coming back for round two. And yeah, one of them, God, I forget its name, but one of them, they're adding a new art style to it for the Xbox One port, and it looks
American.
It looks terrible compared to the original. The original was gorgeous, high fantasy. And it was like the new what's it called, Labyrinth of Lost Souls. Anyway, like that game looks amazing, and they're adding like a generic Animu look to it for the Xbox release, and it's like that seems really backwards.
The first title is Stranger of Sword City.
That's the one, Stranger of Sword City. They're adding a shitty art style to complement the regular great art style.
Yeah, wow, that side by side is fucking extreme, isn't
it? Telling the original art looks so good.
What are
the,
you
the
doing?
Anime was not terrible, but the other one's
way fucking
better.
Area of Sorrow.
I think it's probably because Demon Gaze was their best selling game, and Demon Gaze was that on the right. It was it was Animu art, so I get it, but like it just seems backwards.
Well, and that screenshot of the original game is gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
That is gorgeous.
These guys are the best at making dungeon RPGs. They're not like they're a little company, but they're not like shit game makers. They make great dungeon RPGs. They make the best that there are.
Like Etrian Odyssey style?
Yeah, like, okay. Those are best in class. And these guys and Atlas.
And they're going off a handheld onto an HD console, and they're putting the art in that state?
In both. You're gonna have both? But why bother?
Okay.
Tales of Hearts.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Why bother?
It's like Tales of Hearts. Do you want CG style?
Exactly.
Do you want anime?
Yeah, you got to toggle. But exactly. Yeah.
God.
It's fun. Like, I'm glad that they said that they're clearly thinking about a Western release already, because I really want to play Stranger of Sword City. Like I always have, because the art looks amazing. But like, what are you doing?
Fucking Microsoft will foot the bill on that. Like
they should.
I bet you they will.
They should.
If they're dumb, they would.
They fucking should. But they're not gonna.
It takes like
it's gonna be Nipponichi Software.
You go to that game. Probably. You go to that Xbox One game download page, and you hold right, and it takes about 4 seconds to get to the other end.
Yeah.
That's true. The other announcements this week are Telepath's Tree announcing Inner Chains.
Oh, yeah. I sent this to you, huh?
Spooky horror.
Have you heard of this?
No.
It's former Dying Light and Gears of War developers, so Gears of War meaning probably from People Can Fly. And they're making a horror-based first-person shooter, and there's a little quick trailer, and it just shows a hellscape.
Yeah, it's not even a trailer. It's just they show an environment, and it looks like
the most metal.
Well, it looks like an NVIDIA fucking benchmark video.
Oh, yeah. Sick.
You know?
Like a graphics card box art character.
Not even character, just the environment.
Just the environment, okay.
Same. And in another previous article, I'm not sure if Willie saw that one too, but it shows some character and monster art, and it's like the type of monster art. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's the type of Del Toro.
Am I
looking at? Where does the face,
like, abstract creature
kind
horror?
Of abstract, like, you know the Angel of Death in Hellboy 2, the thing that had the plate
for a
face, like it looks like that. I'm like, this is exactly
that's
what I
cool.
want, like, because
that's good to hear.
And Inner Chains is a great
it's
fucking
a good
name too.
It's a good name.
So I'm wondering if it's the type of thing that'll have like a Kickstarter down the road. I'm not sure if it will.
Yeah.
But they're just announcing like we're here, we're making this thing, and it's always the type of thing that I like, because there, you know, especially in the 360, PS3 kind of generation, there's not that many of those types of games. Like, there's Painkiller, there's here and there, but I've heard more often a not of those types of games. Horror-based first-person shooters are sometimes being canceled more. I know, like, two or three off the top of my head that I'm like, oh, that never came out. Especially that Rare one was in Rare Replay, that one that was supposed to be...
Oh, yeah.
I think it was called Sundown, Sunset, something,
I can't whatever. Remember, but yeah, but one of the canon projects.
There was another one called Redmore, which was a horror-based in the cabin, and you have a shotgun, and there's monsters and things, and things attacking you.
Sadness.
Like, it's sadness, to a lesser extent.
To a lesser extent, for sure.
Yeah, I have to say that I told you that the... well, you know the sadness, right?
The sadness? Well, Liam, if you want to sort of take a look at what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, my God, you described it really well.
It's even more metal than, like Doom.
Benchmark
like
shit.
It's Doom just thing. A benchmark Hellscape
That's
video.
That's awesome.
That you show off your video card power.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Lords of Shadow 2.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Agni's Philosophy.
Very
like, just, yeah, it's yeah. really cool looking.
As Sadness, the team that made Sadness, Wooly, they a lot of them splintered off and made a developer called Blooper Team, and they didn't put out much. They put out a thing here and there, and they put out a horror game that me and Pat recently played for a video in the future called Layers of Fear. And I told you a little bit about it. It's about a painter.
Yeah,
you did. And the game was fucking fantastic, and the best looking Unity title I've seen yet, and I'm like, wow, this is rare that a company that would rise from the ashes and actually make something super competent. So I'm excited for that. I hope that becomes a thing.
Speaking of like games coming out of people, you of course heard of like Cliff Bleszinski's new project.
Lawbreakers.
I can only remember the code name Blue Streak.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the cast of characters?
No.
Just talking about what we were talking about.
Overwatch a little bit.
It's like they just pulled their cast of characters from the cover of graphics card boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Those character designs are not
deck of MOBA.
Look them up,
champions.
Just look them up. Less inspired.
Oh no.
Like
okay.
Graphics card champions.
Because I remember when
that's what it should be called.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'd play that. That makes more sense.
Well, there's that sick frog off that. I don't remember what it was. It was a frog mech. I don't remember which company had it.
I remember when they teased the game, but I didn't look into it. What was it called?
It's now called Lawbreakers.
Okay, hold on.
Before it was Project Blue Streak.
Okay, Google. Lawbreakers.
Oh, well, he's showing off his
damn.
It doesn't work if you guys talk
okay,
actually.
Sorry.
It's fine. Here, delete that extra shit.
Now, search images.
And you want to see the character list?
We want to see character pictures.
It's going to be hard.
You might want to go to the official page, web.
Yeah,
go to web.
It's the first one on
this. This plays really well for audio.
It does.
It's fine.
Probably in, like, general or something.
Gameplay.
My God, where'd you go?
Gameplay.
No.
General,
we're in a forum now.
We're now in a forum. Okay, maybe.
All right, that was
you know
fun.
That was great. This website's not good.
Nope,
either.
Nothing going on there. Cool logo though, Lawbreakers. Good job, Cliffy B.
But like,
at least it's not a new Arena of Fate style name. Lawbreakers is
yeah. That at least stands out and doesn't.
And also, the name of his developer, Boss Key Productions, is pretty good too.
It's boss. Boss key.
Boss key.
Yeah, boss key's not bad.
Boss
sure.
key.
Yeah, like the key to the boss. Because
okay.
like in Zelda,
Bleszinski loves Zelda. So
yeah, these are some Cliffy B characters. What can I say?
That girl, right there,
right off the cover of an ATI box.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
There you go. There you go.
So there's that. We have the date for Shin Megami X Fire Emblem is coming out in Japan on December 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So
expect
so October 2016
in North America 1 year after, and Europe. It'll probably be more timely because Nintendo's
publishing with fantastic voice acting.
In Europe.
Okay.
It'll probably be a bit more timely because Nintendo's doing it.
Well, I actually realized that...
I hope they just leave in the Japanese dub, to be honest.
Like, I actually realized that
Give options.
I think that Fatal Frame 5 actually comes out here like a few days earlier than the European version. I think. Digitally, of course,
unfortunately.
So you were talking about the cast of characters in Lawbreakers. You want to talk about...
Lawbreaker?
Have you heard about the cast... of Lego Dimensions?
Oh,
you
boy.
Mean,
they got everyone.
Everybody?
Jesus Christ.
I was watching the trailer, and I was like, maybe I should buy this. Wait, no. But
I mean,
maybe.
It's the same type of thing as a Lego movie, where you might go in like I did, where I never really watched a trailer. And then when we watched it, I was like, oh my God. I didn't know... Everyone was in here.
You've got Marty McFly and Doc Brown voiced by Michael J. Fox and Chris Lloyd. You've got Chris Pratt as Emmett, And
Emmett from the Lego Movie.
From the Lego Movie, and and Elizabeth Banks as Wild Style, but also you got Chris Pratt as fucking Jurassic Park guy.
Jurassic World, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot his name in that.
Me
but
too,
whatever.
Yeah.
Allison Brie as Unikitty, Charlie Day as Benny,
yep.
Chris Pratt
again
as Owen Grady.
Whoever does the Scooby-Doo characters,
that was the guy.
As the Scooby-Doo
Chris
characters.
Pratt as Star-Lord.
Yes, yes.
Troy Baker as Batman.
And that's a shame because that's supposed to be
Will Arnett.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
Yeah.
But Tara Strong as Harley Quinn. Stephen Merchant is Wheatley, and GLaDOS is in it.
What? I didn't know about those.
Yeah.
Ellen McLean is in it as well. Portal is there.
Portal's one of the brands.
That's
crazy. Ghostbusters is in there. I don't know if they got voice actors.
They didn't confirm that, but they were silent in the thing.
And then
the original story characters have Joel McHale, and fucking Gary Oldman is the bad guy.
What?
Yeah.
Like, and you hear it and you go, yeah, that's Gary. That's him. He's doing it.
I'm looking at this and I'm like, am I supposed to buy this?
Is this another Lego game?
It's Lego / Toys to Life.
And it's cross dimensions.
It's that light adventure thing, except you can put any character
in. So the Simpsons are in it, Ghostbusters are in it, Lord of the Rings, Scooby-Doo.
Portal.
Back to the Future.
Batman.
Berserk. Bible Black.
Yeah. Gangsta.
The list is crazy robust, actually.
Every doctor from Doctor Who.
Every doctor. The Lego movie's in there, obviously. Mm-hmm. Just fucking bananas.
They're going in.
It's
Monster.
Like, this is a legit.
They're going
legit
in.
Massive
Perfect
investment.
Blue.
Like, yeah.
Legato Blue Summers.
Just Legato.
Mezzoforte.
Iron Giant.
Vin Diesel.
They're going in, man.
Paul Walker.
Post and pre.
Walter
Paul Walker Dimensions.
Walter White. All right.
Oh, man, that's good.
Penny and Stocking.
But, like, yeah, they're putting crazy money into this one. Like, it looks like a bigger investment even than the other ones.
It looks like
huge.
The same budget spent on the movie, except put into the game and licenses.
The problem is that the movie's so fucking good, and, like, because of those specific writers that they got to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that has promise in terms of, like, you know, the lineup of characters. But it's like the movie was so good because it was, like, written so well. So it's like, I don't think that'll translate. The
Traveler's Tales writers have always been all right.
They know the act they have to follow. Yeah. You know, they know. So
there was a Lego movie game, and that was just a Lego game.
It was a Lego game, yeah. So it's going to be interesting because, like, now it's fucking that, which is, like, crazy in its own way.
Yeah.
Disney Infinity 3, which is, like, finally the good one, everyone seems to be saying. Skylanders now with cars and Amiibos with no games. Like, it's gonna be brutal. It's gonna be a bloodbath. And who's gonna be the plastic left on the shelf? Rock Band 4.
Probably.
I was just stuffing my old fucking Rock Band gear into a closet today.
Just in preparation for the new game?
Because you're going to need to make some space.
Coming out in like a day?
God.
It's next week or something, right?
That's good. I don't want to be right, but I'm calling this going to just be a disaster. It's going to bomb super hard.
I don't think so, but it's not going to do...
I have a feeling.
It's not going to do the old numbers.
This is based on nothing.
It's not going to do gangbusters. That's true.
Yeah. I agree. It's going to do worse, though.
Like, I get the same feeling from it than... Maybe not as bad, but I get a similar feeling between that and Tony Hawk 5.
Yeah, like, because the magic is going to reignite for some people.
The magic looks all right.
Is going to reignite for some people, but not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, there's people like us who's like, yeah, we buy games, we'll give it a chance. But, like, Rock Band hit that outside the gamer audience crowd, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
Because has that happened before where something reaches, like, you know, phenomenon-style levels?
Critical mass,
and then it goes away, and then it's, like, flash in the pan, and then it comes back, and then it's a success again?
I certainly can't think of one that has a $100 accessory attached to it.
John
Travolta. Where a lot of people still have.
I think that's the last one. And he's dead again, so...
But, like, yeah, certainly with a $100 guitar attached to it, I don't know.
Well, the problem is that this is John Travolta coming back with his brother, Ace Travolta, also trying to ape every role that he's doing.
Right.
And everyone's like, you know what? I've seen enough Travolta for one day.
One day, one century, yeah.
Like, I guess Street Fighter, but it was always just one game that you bought.
And it never went away in terms of, like,
sort of different
people's hearts.
Because fighting games continued, of course, with MK Deception leading the charge.
Well, rhythm games continued.
You know, people never stopped caring about fighters.
Not with $100
accessories. They just stopped making them.
Well, no. But fighters didn't have $100 accessories, so.
Except the Activator.
Except the Activator.
And the Kinect.
Boy, the Activator's great. We should do an episode.
We should do an episode of that, if that actually. One fresh in the box, anyway.
Eyes of Heaven, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is coming out on December 17th in Japan, so we got a date for that.
Will we be getting another Pat and Wooly import and look at this game?
And are wrong about everything?
I didn't say that. I just I just said the first bit.
Why not?
Okay, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the game.
I did you play the demo?
No.
Okay, there's an updated demo, so you can play the updated demo. Stuff. It's great.
Yep.
It's a lot more fun because it's not trying to be a competitive fighter anymore.
No, once you leave the realm, once you leave the genre of shit that, like, I obsess over, and it's my fault, it's their fault, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I care too much.
Yeah.
Then I can, I can lighten up. I can lighten up.
For sure. No, you'll have fun. I, me and my girlfriend played it. It was enjoyable. I don't remember if the demo has versus. I don't think so. But.
Yeah, I'm like the same way too. Where it's like I don't particularly like Musou games. I only really like.
It's not a Musou game.
No, I mean, I don't really particularly like Musou games.
Oh, I see where you're
going.
Sorry.
But I liked Hyrule Warriors because there was actually so many cooks in the kitchen there that were like, no, let's not make this the same usual.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, and I hated the Fist of the North Star game so much because it was still a franchise that I love seeing being visually displayed to my eyeballs or my earballs, and then it just be bad. But, like, it's still a type of genre that as long as you switch out the franchise, I'll still buy it. So if it's Berserk, or if it's some type of franchise, or even if it's JoJo, Attack on Titan, and I'll try that for sure. And it's just one of those things that's kind of interchangeable. As long as it's something like, if it's a Gurren Lagann, I would freak out.
That window's gone.
That window's super gone and dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the Kill la Kill window is about to close.
It's already.
Like, someone make a game, please.
You can only grab your hat in between the closing doors now.
But, yeah, no, after Hyrule Warriors, like, I tried Dragon Quest Heroes at PAX.
Yeah.
And it's like, they got it down now. They got it so down. I'm excited to play Dragon Quest Heroes, because that game played like, it was kind of like Hyrule War. I mean, it did its own thing, but it was in that quality level.
They know how to,
like,
take X IP property. Yeah,
like, I wish I cared about Dragon Quest a lot more.
And insert it into Musou.
Then I tried out.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Dragon Quest, but I'm gonna play it.
Like Slimes or King,
and like,
whatever, but I don't have any.
The Heroic Legend of Arslan Musou game that's coming out.
I'm excited to
try that one, too, because is it also going to be is it going to be a third one in this, like, licensed, really high quality stuff?
Please look forward to Sex in the City Musou.
Just throwing shoes.
Be good.
It's going to be fun, because they have the formula down.
It's
going to
be fun, because they know what they're doing.
All the girls look at the armies, we're going to have to have sex with all these guys, because I don't know what else they do.
Press the drink button.
Put them up. Carrie is calling down a giant moon shoe, and then there's no opponent because you're already a horse lady.
Just riding each other across the battlefield.
More guys need to be slept with in that encampment.
Oh, you can't take over this castle until you sleep with all of them.
Mash the drink button.
Mash the drink button. Samantha. I watched way too much Sex and the City.
That's okay.
So, not too long ago, when the game first came out, Metanet said that no one will ever 100% N++.
Yeah.
And Billy took offense to
Which, by the way, is a game with, like, thousands and thousands of levels.
That's correct.
So Billy took offense to that.
Is it true that Billy's developed the game just as much as the developers?
Almost, because he beat N+.
He loves N+.
Which doesn't make sense, but he did it.
Yeah.
And he even contacted them.
He wrote them that letter one
over
time.
The time when they fucked up with the ports, and, like, they sent him an apology package because of how how bad they felt, because they knew it was a bad port. But we now know why they confidently strutted. They walked up to the microphone and said, no, no one will 100% this game.
Why did Billy try?
Isn't that a pre-cert issue?
No, but it's yes, not. Because that
there's
means
a soft
that,
rule.
That means depends that, on the issue.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because testers are supposed to do a clean 100% with no hacks. But, whatever, testing aside. So there's a dude, a streamer named Awainstock, I think.
I was really hoping it was Billy. Like,
and what he found out is that levels, any given level has an unwritten challenge that you're supposed to solve to get the hidden completion
thing. And there are thousands of levels.
Thousands.
And they're hard.
And they get impossible almost. And there's an unwritten, unknown challenge for each one. And some of them are like...
Does it tell you what it is after you do it? Or?
Yes. So it's, some of them are like, collect no gold and trigger every mine, but don't die. You know, and shit like that, where it's like, that's fucking hard. And then you do that, right?
That's insane.
In addition, once you unlock everything else, there is a new game plus that puts the difficulty up a third notch.
Good.
And again, we're talking about thousands of levels. So, yeah. This will never happen.
There recently,
and saying something will never happen is the easiest way to make someone go do it.
Of course,
The article mentioned. But quite frankly,
it's going to take years. Recently there was a thing that Metanet said. I don't remember the details, but they were basically saying that their sales for N++ were way lower than they needed to be.
Yeah,
and they were not profitable, and they were not happy, and I think the answer was, you probably should have not made 5,000 levels. Not to be a dick about it, but like, you did make 5,000 levels for a re-release of a re-release of a re-release of a free Flash game.
Ultimately, yeah. And the thing is too is that it's not the Splosion Man problem, even though it's closer in genre to Splosion Man. It's not the Splosion Man problem of, I played this and there's too many levels and now I'm bored. It's the Brawl problem of like, these are still fun, but there's too much content.
No, I think it's different.
No, I got bored.
I got bored with Splosion Man because it's just repetitive.
I got bored in N+.
Oh, I love N+.
Yeah, but I stopped. Why did I stop? Because I was bored.
Okay. Like, all right.
Did you finish all the levels?
No.
Why did you stop?
Well, you just have to at a point. But I like,
you were fading away.
But I do. I feel like I played most of it, enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, thoroughly. But again, I played the shit out of the PC Flash game.
That was the one I played,
and
a lot,
that was
exactly,
the one I put the most hours into.
Yeah.
Because it sat on my desktop as an EXE, and whenever I had a minute of downtime, I'd go play.
I did a lot
level.
Of testing on the both the PSP and DS versions of N+.
Oh, okay.
So I played a bunch of it too, but yeah, no, it's like I kind of get you what you mean. It's like me, it's the same thing with Splosion Man. I stopped playing it because I wasn't having any more fun because it was just went on and on and on and on. Whereas N+ is the type of thing where it's like you stop because it's like, It's too hard, but you had fun up until that point,
yeah.
And you just stop because I'm like, I just can't do it anymore. Yeah. And then it's
you also logically
different.
Have to continue with your life.
Yeah, I forgot to eat,
you know,
and breathe today, so I should probably stop playing this. Or...
If you want to write us in a letter and tell us about how you forgot your basic bodily functions, you can write that into
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Come.
Do not send your Mario Maker levels there. They will get nowhere.
They will go nowhere.
Look on the subreddit.
Send them to the subreddit specifically.
When that post will be up. And I'm sure it'll get upvoted.
Not to Twitter. Not to Tumblr.
Not to Twitter. Because
that's
not
too many
Facebook.
People. It's too many
not
people.
Not to Facebook.
No.
Make a garbage Reddit account and post your level.
There you go. Okay, let's start with one from Aiden. And Aiden wants to know.
You made a bad game, Aiden.
There are Woolly Wolves and the Funky Bunch. I remembered how goddamn amazing the soundtrack to Revengeance was, so I wanted to replay it. But I opened up its case and found anguish inside. The game wasn't there, and it ruined my night. Fucking nothing. Have has there ever been a time when you didn't play a game for a long time, had an urge, but then went to go find it and you couldn't, and sat there going, well, fuck.
Yes, okay, well, it's No More Heroes, which I wanted to play, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I went and I opened the game box, and I was like, what the fuck, where's the disc?
Yeah.
And I had moved, like, twice, and I was like, I think I know who has it, maybe. I don't know where he lives.
That's happened to me more than a couple times. I wanted to play fucking Senku no Runde, and I went to open up my case, and saw nothing.
Fuck.
I wanted to play Battle Fantasia, and I saw nothing. And that's an urge that only comes once in a fucking decade. Yeah,
but it's strong when it happens.
And it's the most, and you can't replace it.
No.
It fucking
there is no replacement for War Tech.
Yes.
The true title.
So then Billy taught me the technique of writing a piece of paper with a name on it and putting that in the case and loaning out the disc without the case.
This person has my copy of
Rayplay.
I was going for something like that.
Is there even a box? I don't
Oh, it's big.
Yeah, no. Liam made it.
It's a big box.
All right.
He made a giant box. I was going to say, slightly different, but for a year, I'm like, well, we need to do a video for this game, and I open up my Asura's Wrath box, and someone keeps moving it and putting it in other boxes and fucking around, and I never cared enough. But then every time, subsequently, I was trying to open up the box for Asura's Wrath, someone had moved it and put it somewhere else. And I think it was finally in the Wire.
It was in
DVD
the Wire
box set.
It was waiting for you to finish the Wire, but you never finished it.
I put it in a game box.
I put it there because you were watching the Wire, when you stopped, it kind of spoiled it.
Maybe if you would find out, if you cared to find out what happened to Prop Joe, you would find out where the fuck Azura's Wrath was.
If you would just carry on with your life properly, would deliver itself.
I've done this to myself. And the other actual one that was a little bit more real and is actually really fucking, like, terrible, is that I had my own game, I think RE4, and I had bought it, and then I had rented another game, and then Blockbuster had called and said, hey, you need to bring us back this game, it's fucking late, and you're going to get a late fee, you just fucking hurry up. And just a whirlwind of activity, and then I went to Blockbuster and brought back the game, went back home, well, I don't have that game anymore, I'll put in my second disc of RE4, to play, now I'm going to play my copy of RE4.
Mm.
Where's my copy of RE4?
You accidentally returned the second
disc. I accidentally put the RE4 disc 2 in there. I go back the same day. They say, we already rented it out. And I explain the situation. It's got a copy of one of my games. I accidentally put it in there. And they went, okay, well, I'll make a note of that. Weeks and weeks and weeks of me calling back every other day saying, where's the game? And I'm like, we don't have it. Someone still has it out. I'm like, it's now, this is before. Like,
how do they still have it out? It's disc 2 of Resident Evil 4.
Because they paid minimum wage, Liam.
Yeah, I know.
So,
but like, what are they doing with that disc?
Like, a month goes by and I'm still not able to continue RE4. This is when RE4 was new.
Yeah.
So then I broke down and just rebought it. Right?
Yeah.
And then I come back one day to Blockbuster, and I'm like, oh, you owe me money now, because what is up with the deal? Someone is now, like, a month late. This is before no late fees, so it's like, you're like, so what the fuck is the deal? It's like, oh, a guy was just stealing people's games, so we fired him.
Oh.
Okay? Give me my $60, though. Yeah, you owe me that. Yeah. They're like, no, we can't do it. Store policy. And I was just like, fuck your store policy. Like, just let me have a game. Let me just grab a game off your game shelf. I don't care. I was so pissed at the time.
Blockbuster's not paying their mat fees.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I had a fucking trial one time at a Super Club Videotron. It's slightly different. I brought in a bunch of old games that I just wanted to get rid of. I had no stake in them, and I said, I don't give a shit. One of them was,
Don't you say Shadow of the Colossus?
No. One of them was,
Metal Gear 3.
NFL 94.
Oh, that's fine.
NHL 93. And,
Sonic 2.
An MLB game. All three were on the Genesis, right? And I brought them in amongst a pile of games. There was a lot of games I was getting rid of. And I looked at the receipt immediately after. I was still in the store. I looked at the receipt, and I was going down the list, and I was looking at them. And the trade-in values were fine, because trade-in values were fine at the day. And I got to those three games,
and the trade-in value was listed as zero for each of them. I had traded in like 40 games, so didn't
quite... But those three Genesis
like,
games...
They just zero. Went through, and most of them were worth like 15, 20, etc.
Yeah.
And I, the guy was right there, and they were all on the counter, and I said, sorry, did you give me zero for those three games? Yeah. I said, can I have them back?
Are you stealing my games?
And I said, can I have them back? And he said, no, I've already printed out the stickers and the receipts.
How did you do that in like 1 second?
And you know, he did. They were right there. And okay. Like, he was being honest. And I was like, that's
you
not...
You gave me zero.
And I was like, that's not right. And I was like 14 at
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, you stole my games. Right?
This adult, like, just
this adult
took them
you
off
up
of me
and stole your
and
games.
And stuck a $5 sticker on them. And that was that.
Because usually, if you
and
bring
it was
back,
one of the most upsetting things.
If you bring a trading game, they go, this is worth this, this
yeah.
is worth this, this is worth this. And then you say, oh, no, I'll take that back, or that's fine.
Because I was selling so many games at the time, it kind of just went
lumped together.
Like, and I was buying a PS3 with that money, so I was excited. And it was, you know, and like, it just kind of, it was really upsetting.
Oh,
it was
sorry,
really, I felt like I got robbed.
No, you did.
You did.
You did.
It was really upsetting.
You should have keyed his car later that night.
Yeah. If only
the truest villains.
If only I
would have
thought to do that.
Yeah.
I've told my Shenmue disc story on the podcast before, so I'm not going to get back into that. Tay wants to know why Liam is the only one with a real Canadian accent.
Because he grew up in the
what
real
are you talking
Canada.
About?
Yeah, he's
he grew up in the real Canada,
the wilderness.
Like
he's from the fucking Rocky Mountains or whatever.
My dad's side of the family, who like I spend a lot of time with, obviously, are like some of the most like Quebecois people I've ever known, and like half of them speak French as their first language, and like yeah, I guess that might be part of it. That's probably 95% of the reason, considering my mom's from Britain, so.
Well, you just
all
said mum
together. Yeah,
you just said
mum
too, didn't I? That's an English thing.
And like, my mom was like raised in the States, and my dad was raised in Poland and raised in Africa for a little bit, and came over here. So their accents are all like so weirdly mixed that they just speak regular English with no real, you know, A's or whatever. So I grew up in that environment. So yeah, I guess that's why.
Yeah, my folks have their West Indian accents, but I was raised in front of a television. In North America, so
raised by
I speak TV English.
Raised by stunt dogs and biker mice.
Yeah, don't even.
This is why Wooly doesn't speak like he's from Trinidad.
God, stunt
where
dogs.
Where are your frogs? I thought he's from Jamaica.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Me?
Yeah. I'm joking.
We're joking,
but
because people say you're from like Trinidad and
right.
like other places,
right.
It's like no. Guess what? We've established this a million
Jamaica!
Yeah. When you're born as a boy in Jamaica, you get pants that say maximum on them. This is the truth.
Jailhouse Bro Moromska wants to know if any of us are related to someone famous.
My cousin used to play in the NHL, like on the Avalanche. He's a terrible player.
I know a guy who's got three cousins that are all like musicians that are like I know
but I'm more famous than my hockey player.
Yeah, I don't think I'm related to anybody famous. I'm probably the most well known person.
I guess so. Yeah, I think I'm in that same position.
But we all know somebody that is cousins with Chaos the Rapper, Gregory Charles the singer from here, and the voice of Adewale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Assassin's Creed.
Exactly. So he's cousins of all of them.
So. While not related, me and Wooly hung out a bit with, and I had a class, I'm not sure you had a class with Jay Baruchel.
Oh.
He's been in lots of movies and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Dude, like,
not related.
Well, more than a class. Like, him and my brother and I, we all, like, grew up and were friends and, like,
okay, I wasn't sure,
we chilled and so on. Like, yeah, we're good friends, but no.
I had stress management with him, and we just talked, like, that class, guess what, was so stressful.
Yeah,
but he like came up with the dumbest bullshit that made me laugh.
I had a friend who lived in the same hometown as me, like a little like tiny town in Quebec, and his dad was friends with Viggo Mortensen.
That's
and
weird.
I once saw and briefly met Viggo Mortensen when I was like
nine or something. Okay, okay. And, like, I knew who he was because Lord of the Rings, but, like, that was it, right?
He had a sick, naked Russian fight with you in a bathhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
But, like, no other, like,
I mean, I think, like, everyone has a, knows somebody or something, or has a friend, but, like, I don't think any family members.
We once met Mega 64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Cool.
They're like super famous on the internet.
Those guys are super famous.
Holy shit, man.
I love those guys.
I want to meet JonTron someday.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Oyvind says, look, I know favorite questions are really uninspired, but this is a must. I just want to know which is the best gem.
Best gem?
That's like choosing between, like, that's based on your mood. It's like choosing between pizza, ice cream, or burgers, or something.
Without
it's like,
elaborating, I'm simply going to say Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, I was going to say Garnet for the same reasons. Like, exactly.
I want to say Garnet, but then I'll say Amethyst, and then sometimes I'll say Steven, and then I'll say Rose Quartz. But it's actually, the actual answer is Rose Quartz.
I'll say Garnet every time.
Yep.
I'll say Rose Quartz.
Yep.
It's good. Good pick. They're all good picks.
Yeah, you're not really wrong, except if you say Pearl. But then you'll go, wait, no.
You're right. Because
Pearl does have the thing.
Everyone's
sometimes.
Got moments. Everyone's got That's moments. A good cast. Deadpool, Wooly, have you read Trigun Maximum? Yes. Michael,
Wooly, have you read Trigun Maximum?
Yes. Moving on. We've got two of those questions in the bank now.
What's up, Mega Good Pal Core?
Core, that's a good one.
If you had to delete one LP from your channel, and if you're forced to only keep one LP on your channel, which would they be?
Oh, good question.
That's a really interesting question. If I had to...
Delete an LP and delete everything but
an LP. If I had to delete one, I would delete Beautiful Joe, because I don't think anyone gives a shit. I love Beautiful Joe.
I wouldn't
it wasn't
say
a particularly good playthrough, so I would just... Nobody cares. Gone. Streets of Rage is in the same category, where I don't think anyone really...
It did what it needed to do at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was set you up.
Okay. Yeah.
Why is your Facebook fucking picture still the same thing?
That's true, I've never changed it, have I? I thought
that was there out of some sort of, like... Like fond memory.
I put it when it happened, and it's just been that way ever since. But whenever I think about it, I just think it's Streets of Rage. But you're right. Wow.
I would delete Mad World, but I would still want
that
to
one's recent. So you're kind of deep here.
I'd still want to redo it in some way because there's too many technical errors. We made some, you know, poor decisions based on this. Some of the editing is not great, and the person that should have been playing should have been any one of us that's played through the game a million times or something, because you can just blast through the levels, it would have been much quicker, type of stuff like that. But I'd still want to redo it again someday better.
Yeah.
In terms of...
That sounds like candidate for LP that could be most improved in your eyes.
Most improved, yeah. You know what? Most improved. But I want to say actually take away, because, like, I think Liam's kind of on point in the thing that then maybe not has the most technical errors, but is the most, like, kind of forgettable. Like, it's just kind of...
Nobody's watching it.
Murdered Soul Suspect.
Oh, yeah?
Nothing of value happened. Easily.
Because me and Wooly had a lot of takeaways from
that.
Yeah,
we certainly did.
Maybe we got more out of it than you did.
Sure, but it's just...
Yeah, no, I hear you, I hear you.
Like, I would keep Prison Break and Ride to Hell, because there was stuff.
Yeah, if I could only keep one thing, it would be Pat stares at Mercenary Kings.
Keep or take away.
Keep.
Yeah.
No, not that at all.
I would keep the full LP of Final Fantasy VIII, because...
That one was really good.
Balls to the wall fun.
You did. Your editing was really good.
I was enjoying that.
I would keep. I always forget the name. Beyond Two Souls.
Yep.
Because that is a three-man LP, which, you know, happens here and there. But I keep Beyond Two Souls because I think we're all on board. We are all firing on all
cylinders.
You
were all on message.
And we knew it was the Return of the King.
Yeah.
We knew it was the trilogy ender of the David Cage fucking sadness trilogy.
Yeah. And I think it's like there's so many good jokes and there's so many good moments and but there's like and then I'd also keep Deadly Premonition, but I actually keep Beyond Two Souls because it's actually one of my favorites.
Yeah. No, as far as what I get rid of though, like there's a couple things I don't feel super great about it in retrospect, but you know, I mean, anything with a massive technical error Because stuff where it's like, oh, Wooly, like, or I shitted up the gameplay or something, I'm like, whatever, I can live with that. But stuff where it's like, oh, this is actually hard to watch or listen to, like the No More Heroes 2 episode where things just went to shit.
Yeah, but like, that was like the end of the fall. Episode.
The fall,
like the
is
last episode
one.
Of Guacamelee.
Exactly, right? So stuff where there's technical problems are the ones where I'm like, ugh, God. Because it's not just like, you know, it's not just like poor content. It's like, technical issues.
Yeah. Oh, another one I'd get rid of is the Nuzlocke. In a heartbeat.
Yeah. I would get rid of it, but I'd redo it. I'd do
stream,
it over again.
The stream saved it. I wouldn't even want to redo it.
Like, yeah, I hear you, but I disagree, if only because the stream really...
The stream saved it, but there was bits where, like, we were fucking up, and we knew we were fucking up, and people took it so seriously that it was hard to sleep at night.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. It was just a. You know.
I also associate that LP with a lot of bad shit because I was super sick for like a good portion of it, and if you don't hear me in the background,
actually,
talking,
I
was throwing up in the bathroom.
It's all worth it for the bit where Wooly got his mouth removed and had to speak real rough. When you got your teeth pulled out,
your face taken off.
It's all worth it for that. All worth it for that.
I came straight from the dentist.
The other day, I woke up in a huff, in a cold sweat, and I said to my girlfriend, what was the LP where Wooly couldn't speak with? And she said, I don't know, all of them? And I said, no, wait, no, there was a specific one. That was good.
That's mean.
No, I'm just joking.
Tell her I said that's mean.
She didn't actually say that, but she couldn't answer the question properly, so... If I had to keep one, like, I'd be... Like, I love Aria of Sorrow, because I really felt like it was perfect. I know there's a lot of people... Not a lot. I know there's a vocal, very small minority who hate... what have they been calling it? Rehearsed LPs. And it's like... Fuck off. Like, it's great. I really like that LP.
Yeah,
it's
great. Some people
don't watch Metal Gear Rising.
Some people weren't into Astro Boy. Some people weren't into Astro Boy,
yeah.
But ultimately, again, I feel the stuff where there's technical problems is the ones that stand out to me more.
I always think it's the one that's the dull game that results in nothing.
I would put the shit that literally nobody... Like,
but you're right. Beautiful Joe was something that I forgot existed as
well. A lot of people forgot Beautiful Joe existed.
Yeah.
Straight up, like,
that's true.
That was a thing. If I had to keep one, like, I'd be hard pressed because I would genuinely pick something like Downpour. That's like indicative of what the channel is.
I'd say if I can say something you would want to keep is Sonic Adventure.
Sonic Adventure's not bad. Yeah,
well, it's sure. Like the most successful. Technically, in a technical
sense. In a sense, it's certainly,
like, I'll always remember it. Like, I would never want that gone.
It would be frustrating, because there's a lot of LPs I'd want to keep, like Aria, and, like, I'd want to keep Sword of the Berserk, even though we had some, like, snafus with the audio. Like, Sword of the Berserk was
mailman
still
kept
a blast.
Interrupted.
I guess, though, when I kind of think about stuff like, you know, Beautiful Joe and whatnot, at the same time, I feel I'm like... There's 365 days in a year,
yeah.
Right? We're throwing two of these out a day on each one.
We do 714 or whatever videos a year. Like, it's not all... They're not all going to be winners.
They're not all going to be gold, and they're not all going to be silver.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah. Not even bronze.
That's how it is. And, like, something that... Who was I discussing this with? I was discussing this with someone recently. I forgot who it was.
I remember discussing it with someone on V recently, where someone was like, "You guys have been like more shitty ever since like you two came on,"
and
it's
so
like
and so forth.
We're making double the content.
Well,
we're gonna have more bad stuff, and we're gonna have more good stuff. And I think we delivered on.
Well,
that.
Here's the secret that is underlying to a lot of things, and including a lot. What I hear whenever I read that as well. There's a huge difference between edited joke highlights versus the full thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, the nature of the original 2BF show on Machinima is one that's... It's nothing but good times because it's cut to that.
You don't get to see how the sausage is made.
You just get the delicious.
You don't want
taste
to see how the sausage
Astro
is made.
Astro Boy is how the sausage
is
made.
Is how the sausage is made, right?
Yeah.
But and that's the thing. And as a result, in general, it's like it's not something that you can ride along with. It's a one special moment thing. But the stuff that people love the most tend to be the ones where it's like you just get a distilled. moment-to-moment funny video.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, it's a different beast.
It's so impossible to strike that balance and put out as many videos as we do.
It's a completely different beast, you know?
Because it takes so much longer to edit something
and,
like
and
that.
And it's basically like, are you going to take a game like Bloodborne and just make it one video? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing.
No, exactly.
So, it's a different target, and as a result, you get, yeah, not as much.
We're not targeting people who want fast and jump cut humor. We're targeting people who want to sit through the shit.
That's why I think for Machinima it's fine.
Our target audience is people who want to sit through the shit.
But the Machinima show was a different show.
It was, exactly.
That came out once a week.
For that target audience.
And it came out once a week and it was all jokes.
Yeah.
So people that sort of say that, it's like, oh, like you guys came on board and the whole thing went to shit. I'm like, ouch, but whatever. It's the internet. But ultimately, we started.
Anything to do with you guys is that you guys kind of more or less joined up when we started really going hard into LPs. It's LPs that are the thing.
But that's what I'm saying is the people are just thinking about the. They're like, oh, what it used to be, right?
The time
and what you're actually thinking of is one edited video a week as opposed to LPs at all.
Yeah.
It was a different type of content entirely, you know. So.
And though admittedly some LPs are better than others,
of course,
by wide scales
of
magnitude.
But
Life is Strange.
But
I don't know what you mean.
But I would argue that like any given Machinima episode is usually way funnier than a given LP episode.
Well, like Harry Potter Connect, I still watch that every couple months.
I recently
it's a fucking riot.
Recently,
it's cut to the best.
Yeah.
You know,
recently we had some,
curated.
We had for you. Family members of my fiance's family came over, just like some, you know, like 20-year-olds or whatever, and they're like, Matt, show them one of your videos. And I'm like, no, God.
And
I'm
you whipped out your Harry Potter Connect.
No, I go, no, I don't, no, it's fine, because it's so often you're gonna run in a situation where people just stare at it and they're like, what the
will you show them Pat and Wooly's JoJo video. That's a perfect
entry.
Family
icebreaker.
God damn it.
No, so then my fiance goes, no, show them the Harry Potter video. And I just like, I'm not confident in that stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay.
Well, it's not who you are now.
It's not who I was back then. It's not who I am now. So I'm like, and I'm like, all right. And I just kind of go like this. I rub my eyes as it's starting to play out.
Goodbye wedding.
And then in the first like 2 minutes, they're laughing their asses off.
Of Harry Potter.
And watching Harry Potter Connect. And I'm really, this is still funny to casual people. And there's some jokes where I'm like, whatever. But the visuals, the Harry and moving his arms, because the Kinect is such a horrible piece of shit, that they're laughing based on that. And the jokes are not so much a thing. Like, some of them go over people's heads because you reference something or whatever. But the actual thing, I'm like, okay, well, that's why that works and will probably work until cavemen way bit in the future when life has been a post-apocalyptic nightmare that they can find that.
It's going to be the new gospel.
Yeah.
It's going to be the new gospel.
But, like, you know, like, if anyone kind of watches you guys, like, your P4 episode with all the Nanika jokes and shit that are really
Kim
funny.
Hashirama-san,
and it's like, if you were watching an LP of this, would that be an episode-to-episode basis?
Because boy, have we spoken about Persona LPs and how impossible they are. But like
The you know what I mean? And when you look at Conan, Clueless Gamer, it's like... That's another thing
that's
where it's
really
like Conan's
funny.
Coolest Gamer, everyone loves it, and it's like, fuck, LPers wish they were that funny. But the truth is that it's also an edited format, which gets to the meat, and it's 10 minutes.
I mean, don't get us wrong, Conan is the fucking funny man.
He's a great barbarian.
No, but I'm just saying that there's strengths and weaknesses to both formats.
Yeah, for sure.
And like it's almost unfair to compare them because they're going for different things.
They're different things, yeah.
Because something you can do, a one-off or like an edited, cut-down, joke-a-minute thing, you can do that with any game, really. But LPs... Like, some games we can't do them with. Be they long or just not actually interesting enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
The Until Dawn one-off is probably hilarious and amazing. But it's a different thing.
But the whole series succeeds in a way that it definitely couldn't have as a one-off, for sure.
You know?
Because it's the intrigue about what's going on or whatever.
Yeah,
you can only get
people
that
get
so
on board and they
distilled.
Follow. They follow the adventure.
The crazy thing about Until Dawn is that sometimes the episode view count goes up in newer episodes. Like, when movies do really well, it's when it gets back on top number one.
Okay.
Which happens super rarely. It happens maybe once a year. Maybe not that. So I sometimes look at the views and I just see, like, this episode is like 1,362 people. The next one is 1,047. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
That's not how it works. I don't know what metrics are. So that's crazy.
Climbing to the top on the corpses of Danganronpa. The and bodies Star Fox. Litter of the bodies of Star Fox characters litter the floor.
Hey, people are coming back around on Star Fox. Yeah. I tell you what,
yeah.
It'll happen.
A zip board flew Star by Fox, the camera for a half
Star
second.
Star Fox was a perfect reverse bell curve. People, we all loved it at the beginning. Then there was the middle. And now we're all back on board.
Keep Star Fox weird.
Exactly.
You know, it's
have more racism.
Star Fox can't control what happens outside of Star Fox.
No, exactly. I can't.
Good question.
Yeah, it is a good question.
It's been a while, man.
So let's roll then, because I'll save the rest for next time.
Roll.
What do we got coming out?
Star Fox.
Star Fox.
Star Fox still has another week and a bit left on it.
I don't think there's anything new in the pipeline this week.
Danganronpa is going to continue. We should be switching to the Japanese audio finally in our next.
Oh, you
in
can.
Our next
okay.
episode
sure.
9 is the last of English, and I just have to replay up till that point. It's only a couple chapters.
Oh, that's how you're doing it. Wow. Okay.
So you can't switch.
Yeah, but you can skip cutscenes, so it'll go super quick. So I just need to replay up to that bit in Japanese, and then we can get going with that in Japanese.
Well, it'll be the first footage where we record, like, that.
Post-release.
Post-release.
All, 1 to 9 was
we're
all
front-loaded.
Pre-release.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, just, you know.
Metal Gear's gonna carry on. Boy, it's exciting. What was that episode I showed you before?
Ten.
Episode 10?
Episode 10. Oh,
episode
my God.
Episode 10 is strong.
Oh, my God.
Episode 10 is very strong.
Yo.
Yo,
you are not ready.
Until Dawn is done, for those that are wondering.
That next one up yesterday, right?
Yeah, the other day.
Yeah, okay,
so Until Dawn is done, we're finished, and it's all kind of like set to go. And I guess the only thing of news about that is that, yeah, we recorded the last batch of episodes, and it was fine for us, but it's too dark. I've seen a lot of people talking about how, like, various LPs that you've watched, some people jack up the brightness too high, and then you can you can see some things that you shouldn't
see. Stuff early and stuff.
And in the next batch of episodes, we turn the brightness down. Pat's perfectly calibrated TV, not as perfectly calibrated as he would have you believe. So
I'm unfortunately lagged on that game because I can only play it when I meet up with the girlfriends.
Yeah, why
right,
you
of course.
Yeah.
It's not too long, so you'll get through it.
All right. Well, you know.
Yeah, I guess we'll do Mario Maker in the week after
that. Yeah,
so submit your whatevers. Submit your dick
submit
butt
your
design.
Whatevers.
Submit your whatevers.
Yeah. Raise your dongers.
Raise your dongers. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Is Fisticuffs happening this week?
Fisticuffs is happening. And
it's Ultimax this week again.
Yep. Let's just
every
keep
week
that going.
Is Ultimax.
Always. Every week is Ultimax.
No, we gotta save Ultimax teasing for when it's Scrublords.
Yeah.
That's the moment.
Well, now that it's become now that the gimmick is recognized, it's like, when do we actually do Ultimax?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, and when do we say we're doing Ultimax, but just do Third Strike? Like, that's the good one.
That's the other one, too.
What is the next April Fool's a Friday? Maybe that's money. That's money shot right
Fuck
there.
Fuck April. We're going to wait for April.
Sometimes you should
April
wait for
Fool's
April.
Whenever. April Fool's every
whoops,
day.
All April Fool's.
Oh, man, if we did a month that was April Fool's month.
That's so weird.
Just fuck with people's expectations for a whole month.
Nothing is anything. It's great. Cool.
That's crazy. Maybe we should do that. That'd be like groundbreaking YouTube entertainment.
It'd be so hard to come up with 31.
It would be the most annoying thing in the fucking world.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. And we'll have little like pictures of our faces going,
all right, so it's Liam and Zach playing the new Silent Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
like, and here's Matt playing Reboot while, you know, like... Get that face cam, but only for sporadic times. during moments of not yelling.
Matt stares at the ending cutscene of Nier.
And Persona 5 together.
Can we just, like, dip this in the grease of animated GIFs? We just need to sprinkle more GIFs on our videos.
Here's Wooly's bomb-ass Godzilla reviews.
Here's a 10-minute LP video, but actually it's just a 10-minute animation by Plague. We let him do whatever.
That's a license for destruction there. What are we looking forward to this week?
I was going to roll out on that, but I guess I'm looking forward to... what was coming out on Early Access?
Fuck, what
just
was it?
About this time.
Destiny the Taken King comes out, but what else? Fuck.
Motherfucker. Nothing. I forget. I guess
nothing's coming out.
Something was going to come out.
I got two things. Saga Volume 5 comes out today.
Oh, shit.
We'll be buying and reading that. I assume all three of us.
I will be coming with you to the bookstore after this.
Who enjoy comic books. And the other thing is that I recently got all of Hannibal Season 3, so I can finally sit down and watch it, because Amazon.com, of course, has the exclusive rights to streaming that, so I'm not allowed because of reasons. I'm going to probably blast through that this week.
Oh, hopefully. You know what I'm looking forward to this week? It's too late if you're listening to this podcast, but at 3 a.m. tonight, or 3 a.m. Tuesday morning, whatever.
TGS,
Danganronpa, whatever it's going to be.
Probably.
Dangan Fighting Game, Dangan everything.
Dangan Fighting Game. Oh, God, get the fuck out.
It's free. It's not going to happen, but it's free.
It has four characters in it.
That's enough.
There's fucking four
people. Who are your four?
Sakura.
Yeah.
Akane.
Uh-huh.
Nekomaru.
Uh-huh.
Monokuma.
You forgot Monomi.
Oh, God.
She'd be fine.
She's a palette swap of Monokuma.
She'd be... Okay, sure, but you get all four.
That's why she's praying for a fighting game.
Yeah, that's it. You get a five-character fighter.
You get Toko.
Oh, God.
Genocide.
Shut up.
You do, though.
It's true. You do.
There you go.
If you get eight, you can ship it. All right. No, I got nothing personally, so yeah.
This is good. It's going
to
be an
exciting week to be
here. Damn good thing Metal Gear Solid's out.
Always remember that. Just go there.
Well, dude, there's the shit that I'm like, I'm excited to go back to the thing I've neglected for a little bit. I'm
Reboot.
Maybe.
What you got coming? If only you knew. All right.
Okay.
Reboot's a cursed game.
Yeah.
Thank you.